Oh, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Weekly Roast and Toast here on DoubleToasted.com. Corey Martin and sometimes Billy. Are we lucky today? Is he here? Oh, no. Oh, I tell you, it's Russian roulette, a Negro roulette. Don't ever bet on black when you have to bet on Billy.
Just bet on black sometimes.
No, not even with Billy. No, never. Never. Even Billy don't bet on black. Yeah. Martin's here, though. How you doing, man?
Always here.
As am I. How y'all doing today? It's good to have you here. Billy's actually doing something. He told me earlier today that he does that Esther's Follies.
That is his main job.
That is his main thing right there. Shit, because usually that's our folly when he's doing something.
hey, come on, man. He told you ahead of time.
No, I ain't going to mess. Man, you know I got to slip something in there. No, I ain't going to mess with him, though. No, he did tell me ahead of time. He said that he had something that they're doing, a rehearsal or something, is running a little bit late. So he said that he might not make it here. And I just said, well, don't worry about it. You know, don't have to rush.
But I'm going to try to make it, though.
No, I said don't even try.
Just keep I know you would say that. Yeah, you would tell him.
Just keep your ass over there. You don't need you busting through the door and shit, knocking things over when you come through here. So we have a little vacation tonight from Billy.
I miss Billy.
Yeah, you're not gonna have the cackle tonight. So maybe Mark can provide it for you. Oh no, that's too low.
No,
there you go. Here's your little dose of Billy, as much as we could get for you.
Sample that and just paste it in every so often.
Yeah. It's like artificial crab meat. Just get that artificial Billy right there. It ain't like the real thing, but we did what we could. So.
It's what you could afford.
Yeah. It's the only thing that we can muster up for you right now. But it's going to be good tonight. Tonight, I think that we'll have Corel Buford on.
So have you established that it's really him?
I mean, with this, you know what? I mean, look, you know who we're talking about. Let me see. Where is this fool? Where
did I put you're going to cut. It's going to be an actual catfish on Skype talking to you.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Y'all know who we're talking about. This guy right here. No, you don't know what you're going to get with that. I mean, I'm not betting on it, but I've been talking to him all day. So
you got five on it.
Yeah. I didn't put nothing on it. I don't know what we're going to get. Like Mars said, we could get a catfish, an actual catfish. This guy right here. You don't know what you're going to get with that. So I'm just going to see what happens. He gave me his number. I'm going to go ahead and give him a call. It's not going to be on video. He said he'll try to get some video later. So he can't do it tonight. So, yeah.
Because it's not really him.
Because it might not even be him.
It's not him.
You know what? But we'll see. We'll take it. We'll see what happens. Okay. We might be talking to fake Corel Buford. You know what? This is what I'll do. Before I go any further, I'm gonna tell you, I want this nigga to have my number. So, I did not call to confirm. Nah, I said I don't know.
The way that was playing so dodgy on Sunday, like, oh, you just missed me. Oh, call me tomorrow. I'll be ready the next day.
Yeah. Like, well, actually, on Sunday, that was me because he was getting back with me, and I was taking these long lapses because I was in the middle of the show.
Sure.
And plus, he caught me right before the show. So I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I'm not using my number to call, but I'll call using Skype and let them take the risk. So we'll see what happens. I'll call in a little bit. And like I said, might be him, might not be. Also, we have Martin going to talk about you.
Me?
Yeah.
What
you,
I Martin. Do?
Oh, Martin, you did a lot of things. Oh, Martin, everybody think you going to Hollywood now. Yeah. You and Ray, boy.
Yeah, I didn't know until Oz texted me today and told me how he busted me out like that.
Yeah, we were almost done, man.
Because I was like, dang, I didn't even repost that thing till 11 at night. How did y'all even know?
Well, he was waiting. Because he said, oh, son, there it is. That beard. Martin did a commercial. We'll talk about that. But we're talking about the series. You. Yeah, you're the one. You and I met a lot of people. You and this girl over here, Sharonda. Everybody was talking about, man, you have you seen this? Are you gonna watch this? I'm like, all right, shut up. I'll watch it. So I went ahead and like I did with The Punisher, I binged it all in one day.
You are a binger, my friend.
I am, man. I can't because when you binge stuff, you are a slave to that iPad, man. I know. Yeah, I my whole day is spent. I can't waste a second if I want to try to watch the whole thing. So I'm walking around with that, you know, I'm cutting my hair, I'm cooking.
In the shower.
I'm in the shower. Having sex
with your wife.
Yeah, shitting. All that, man. It did wherever I was going. That show was following. So we binged that today, I binged it today, and we're going to go ahead and see if we can put in a review on that. Mark, because you saw it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that and get y'all to leave me the hell alone about it. Somebody said, In True Detective. Now, look, one thing at a time. All right? Damn. Come on now. And it's funny because the series on Netflix, actually got outvoted for True Detective. Like, a lot of more people were emailing us about you more than they were True Detective, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
True Detective is a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah,
and you gets into it right.
It really does. It really does. All right, let me see here. I'm just downloading a little something real quick that'll go along with some things that I actually forgot to do. So let me see here. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Oh, how you doing, though, Martin?
Little. I was thinking about that today because we have a new girl on our team, a new person who happens also be a girl. Now I say girl because she's very young, but I was working on something. She said, "Hey, how's that little thing you're working on?" And my teeth gritted because you more than anybody knows how angering that is because it's so backhanded, condescending.
Yeah. Anytime somebody say, man, I like your little show.
Yeah, your little show. How's your little show doing?
Bitch, how's your little dick doing? Yeah. How's that sound?
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So you just diminished this thing that I work on, and I'm supposed to smile and go along with that. Fuck you.
Yeah. I don't think people understand how that sounds. It's like when people call something cute. You know, unless you're talking about my face, anything outside of that. Uh-huh. Seriously, let's bring it back. I know I do this a lot, but let's bring it back to the dick. Somebody looked at your dick and said, "Oh, that's cute. That's an insult." You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
If you got a new car, say, "Oh, how's your little car?" It's like, you mean this car that I pay part of my salary for, that I enjoy every day? My little car has got to be something little just because it's not yours.
Well, if your car is little, you know what I mean? Come on, they got little cars out there. If you and 15 clowns are walking out, you know, they probably.
That was the biggest car I could afford.
They probably have a point. Yeah, but yeah, man, people talking about, yeah, little. Yeah, ain't nothing little about me. Shit. I do everything big.
Or they little about you is your patience.
Yeah. Hey, no, even that. I make a big production out of that. If I get tired of something, you're gonna hear about it. I do everything big. Yeah, don't come up here with that little shit.
Speaking of which, where's our crew?
What crew?
The Felixes and the Carloses.
Don't say Carlos two more times. And Felix is out of town for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Felix is. He told me, he said you're gonna get a vacation from me. And I said, I don't know if you're joking or not, but that's exactly how we taking it. It has been so nice around here. This my man has been gone. Oh, but yeah, people, we're going to go ahead and get into it. Let me go ahead and welcome the rest of you folks up in here before we move on. I got to call this dude at 9. Oh, also, we'll have what else? Oh, in addition to you, what we're going to do is I'm going to recommend about 4 of the movies that are similar to you.
Oh, okay.
In a particular way.
Okay.
Martin, if you're driving that and somebody says, oh, how's your little car? You can't get mad about that. What the fuck am I supposed to say, man? How's that piece of shit you drive? You better be glad I said little. Gene put that in there. Yeah, you better watch yourself. Oh, and let's see here. Let me go ahead and welcome the rest of these folks up here. You just saw them, And here they are, Martin, they want autographs now. Man, Martin, they got your headshots and everything up in there. The chatter-tat-tat.
Why did I do this?
You knew.
I did not know. Actually.
You knew, Martin.
Nobody, I should have known, but I did not know.
Martin, you put it out there. I thought somebody else found it.
I had it set for friends, and I thought just my friends, my close friends would see it, and I guess it's
Martin,
just
on Facebook, you got no friends. On the internet, you got no friends. Oz is not your friend.
Clearly.
Yeah, but
I can't be mad at Oz.
No, Oz was giving you some praise, man.
No, I know.
He put it out there, though.
Actually, everybody's been very complimentary, so it's
no,
it's, been
it's
fine.
Good. It's good. Hollywood up here. Martin, the thespian. Oh, people. Let me go ahead and welcome the rest of you folks up in here.
Well, you know, it's not that beer money like Ray got.
No. Ray had money for the whole bar. But you got your house back, right? Man, why are we talking about this? Let me go. I was going to wait. Because Martin was acting his ass off in this commercial. If you don't know, Martin's in a realtor commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Martin... Well, I want to – if you need an energetic black man in your commercial, get Martin. Martin is excited about anything.
Zero Plus saved us thousands.
Man, you got to play the whole thing. Come on.
We finally got all the kids out of the house and thought to ourselves, it's time for a new house. We
just Martin's into that conversation. I know, right? Martin, this is my favorite part, though. I'm not even making fun of you. This is my favorite part because you.
No, I'm not, man.
You got away with words. I ain't never seen somebody act the ass off with this one particular word.
But.
Put that head into it. But.
You know how to do like 15 different takes, and that's the one they chose.
Boy, you look like you ready to whoop somebody's ass, too. But if you ain't got my money.
Who wants to deal with all the hassles of getting a mortgage?
We wanted nothing to do with that.
But check it out. Here we are, a new dream home. And it was easy.
Shit, if I don't sell you. And it was easy. My Martin sold that house, too. Look at our new home right here. Shit, Martin ain't that excited about his real house. I wish we could make that dream home come true. Who is this woman they put you with, man?
She's an actress from San Antonio.
From San Antonio? Because everybody asking, man, is that Martin's real wife? I'm like, Nick... That's why it's acting, man.
I know.
They just see you sitting next to a black woman and say, oh, shit, that must be his boo. But she looking at you like she want to fuck, man. I don't think she's acting, man.
You know, the funny thing is, I hadn't told my wife that I did this.
What? You got a moonlight while you doing commercials?
Well, yeah, because the company is one of her competitors. She owns her own real estate company, Elegant Estates Mortgage. If you're in town and you need a realtor, she's been in business for 25 years. She knows the Austin area and surrounding areas better than almost anyone else you know. Matter of fact, someone in this room could probably give you a testimonial to her skills and her prowess. However,
but it took a while to find the right person. Thank God I found my friend Martin Thomas, and his lovely wife helped me find this dream studio right here.
And it was easy. No,
she's a great realtor, though.
No, thank you. No, the thing is, when I got called in about doing this, I didn't know what it was for. I was just auditioning, really just to help out my buddy and be a warm body, and then they were like, yeah, they like you. They want you for the part. And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, she used to work for them way back when she started. Mm-hmm. And she, now she's started her own company. And I was like, I really want to do this. But I don't want to run it by her because she'll be like, hell no. And I was like, you know what? I'll do this. I'll make this money. They may never finish this commercial. Who knows what's going to happen?
You should go back home and say, babe, you know they don't mean shit to me. That was just a one-time thing.
No, that's what I did, actually. She was out of town, and I called her. I was like, listen, something about me is about to come out. It's going to go public. And I wish you were here so I could talk to you to your face. You just got to know that you mean everything to me. Whatever happens, people say it don't mean nothing.
Wait a minute. Don't let me finish. I was fucking around. I'm joking. Feet dangling while you got your... is a fucking commercial.
No, so when I told her where she was, she's like, oh, shit, I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
She you had me scared. I was about to come back home and kick your ass.
Yeah, boy. She's coming through the front door with a knife in her hand. Yeah, man, I don't mean nothing. Get your, she probably was thinking, get your money, black man. Shit. She was like, but I don't give a fuck. Did you get paid? You did not. If you did that shit for free, I'll whoop your ass. Oh. Uh-oh, somebody's at the door. Sharonda, show them hot pants you got and go again. Showing some skin through them legs and let them in, whoever that is. This is like one of those sitcoms or TV shows. I wonder who it could be. Oh, there you go.
Cue the applause.
You know, you must have heard Martin calling your name. Denise is up in here. How you doing, girl?
Okay.
I'm here
on time.
This ain't on time.
Oh, no, I've been outside for like 20 minutes.
That still ain't on time. do your math.
Yeah, on time.
That's 8:40 that you came in.
No, I got her at 8:30.
Did you?
Oh, she lying.
Did you see this?
I got here at 8:30.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
33.
There's a saying in the military that goes, if you're right on time, then you're late. So you, in military terms, you're late, Denise. But, you know, a little secret, I was late too. So actually, no, I got here about 10 minutes before.
Traffic was bad, though.
Yeah, go ahead on. Yeah, do that. Thank you, babe. You know what? Before I rest, welcome the rest of you guys up in here. Let me go ahead and welcome this dude and see if we can actually get him on the air, and then I'll welcome you because I told him I was going to call at 9 my time. So I don't, if he is there, because it's been crazy trying to reach him, I don't want to miss this opportunity. If it is him, like I said, it might not be. Excuse me. But we'll see. And if it's fake Correll Buford, then we'll just deal with that until we can actually see his face. Hey, man, better than no Correll Buford.
I suppose that's
true. Maybe we should just ask him to perform, and if we could probably tell if it's him or not.
Oh. If we could see him. Yeah. Or listen to him.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, don't nobody sound like that. I mean, this is infectious. He's just having a good time by himself.
You know, that's what it is. You watch it, and you're like, man, I envy his happiness. Like, I wish I could have some of that.
I do too, man. I'm not even being sarcastic. This dude brings joy to my heart. I wish I could be as crazy. I mean, happy as he is. Nah, you know what? Let me quit playing.
You're going to scare him off.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get him on the air. Correll Buford, hopefully. I'm going to call right now. It was almost that time. 9 o'clock is when I said I would actually call him.
2 minutes to 9.
2 minutes to 9. See, it is 2 minutes to 9. Let me go ahead and see. I'll call him early. See if he'll respond. So let's see here. Let me go ahead and put his number in. Really? I just copied this damn thing. Come on. I really mess him up. All right. If y'all don't know who Correll Buford is, people are listening. Correll Buford, up and coming Twitter star. Until he pulled his dick out and got banned. At least that's what I want to clear up with him. I want to see if that is the case. Because he was on Twitter one day and he was about to blow up and then went there another day.
Tell
you,
man.
He was banned.
You can catch glimpses of hardcore sex on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't know how that got him banned.
Maybe that's not even it. We'll find out where it is.
Matter of fact, sometimes you can stumble across it on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
The number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. Right. If you are a solicitor, please hang up now.
I'm not.
If you are a solicitor, go fuck
Correll,
yourself.
Correll, I am not calling you with my number. So this would be the last time. They said, no, he didn't pull his dick out. It was a copyright strike. Oh, playing all that music.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not cop. Sharon, let me use your phone. You sure?
You're like, hell no.
That man got a blade. You might get a call back. That man got he got a body on him. Look at him. You don't want to call back from that?
Yeah, look at those biceps. You don't want that?
Yeah. No,
those
and
abs.
No, and those moves. You sure you don't want that? The hair. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
he's
yeah,
like
I don't.
The Black Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. I don't want to call him from my number, but I might do it. Let me see. I'll just fucking.
You giving your number to worst people.
I have. Let me go ahead and call. Man, I do nothing with this shit. Put him on speaker, see if this is him. I doubt it, but, you know, we'll see.
Hey, man.
Hello?
Correll.
What's going on, man?
This is Corey. How you doing?
We're doing good, good, man. Just chilling, you know. Representing tonight.
That's him.
Yeah, what's going on, Corey? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm sorry that we can't get you on video because, you know, we were trying to call you through Skype just through audio and your phone wouldn't pick up. And now I got to put you on this little speaker on my cell phone for people to hear you. But I've been telling people that we're going to get you on the show. And that's what I've been trying to do, man. You're a hard guy. You're a hard guy to pull through.
Yeah, I've been told that, you know, I've been on a couple other shows before, but they were saying the same thing, and everybody's always like, how'd you find Correll Bubba, because, you know, I don't go out a lot, so I'm not just out and about, you can't find me, just I go where I go, and that's it. No, I don't hang out a lot anymore, you know, so.
Nah, because you got everything you need in your room, man. You know, you.
Right, I got the weights. I heard what you said on that interview.
Now, you know that's what we do here, man. We just...
backtracking.
I know. Now, the man. Now, by the way, that was Martin that said that shit, man. Martin, why you say that shit about him, man?
I mean, it was funny. I mean, I was laughing. It was all good. It's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm just letting you know in case you want to beat somebody's ass. That's Martin that said that shit, not me, man.
Yeah. What's his last name? I think I know his family members.
Thomas.
I know some Martin,
right? Yeah. Martin Thomas.
Thomas Martin.
Good. You know what? Martin is like you, man. Martin's a performer. He's done commercials.
We got all the kids out of the house and thought to ourselves,
"Oh yeah,
it's time for a new house. We deserve it."
But
he's doing a realty commercial. So this guy's blowing up too. So Martin's not, you know, he's an actor like you, man, a performer like you.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, I think you and him should actually. Then you and him should do a commercial together. You know, Martin can talk and you can do backup dancing for him.
He can talk about real estate while I start dancing and stuff. That's a hit.
Oh, it is, man. It is.
So,
it is.
So it's pronounced Bufford.
So it's not Buford. It's Bufford.
Yeah, it's Bufford. It reminds me of this one time I was at the comic class. That's a bodybuilding show. And the guy said, your last name is Buford, right? I said, no, it's Bufford. He said, okay, when I announce your name, it's going to be Correll Bufford. I said, yeah, that's right. So I come down the stage, coming up next is Correll Buford. And he got it wrong. So I told him the second year, you know, it's my second year at the competition. He goes, it's Correll Buford, right? I said, no, it's Bufford. He said, I got you this time. I come down the stage, it's Correll Buford. Year after year, he said, Correll Buford. I said, you know, I'm not going to tell him no more. I mean, he keep messing up the name. I'm not going to tell him no more.
Did you finally beat the shit out of him?
Nah, he was a bigger guy than me at the time.
Oh, okay. So there's our people. There are people out there bigger than you. All right, that's good, man. Because you know, I mean, your name fits your personality, Correll Bufford. Because you are pretty. You a fucking buff, man. I gotta tell you, I've seen before and after pictures of you. I want to get you on before I start hitting the questions. I want to, man. I want to get you on video. I don't want to waste these moments. You know what I mean? The thing is, look. As I said, you're a buff guy. You work out. You got a very interesting style. I'd rather talk to you on video than audio like this. I want to represent you in the best way possible. Is there a chance that we can actually get you on video in one of these upcoming shows?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking about doing is getting a webcam or something very soon or the next time we talk and just get a webcam and really just I gotta know how to use it. I was looking up the webcam somehow. You gotta install it. Somebody's gotta install it and all this stuff. I know nothing about it.
But Negro, you don't install all these electronics in your room dancing. you have a karaoke bar in your room. You don't have a webcam.
I have told you that everybody doesn't have webcams.
I don't have a webcam. I don't know how to use one. And a lot of people have been wanting me to do Skype and all this other stuff, but I don't know how to work it. I don't have I got an old monitor, so I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Correll said just
like a 1999 monitor.
Oh, okay. Correll said just give me a mirror and a poster myself and I'm good.
Did I tell you the story? I got that poster. I put the poster on my wall, right? And
Is there a story about it? I assume you took the picture of yourself and just hung it up. That'd be in. How'd you get that picture?
I went to Walgreens, and first of all, I needed it for motivation. I was, like, overweight at the time, and I needed something to motivate me to wake up in the morning and look up and say, you know, that's what I look like. I got a lot of work to do. That'd be the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. So I just got buffer and buffer as the years went on, and I remember getting my first Big Huge poster, and it was, like, the colossal size like you see now. Mm-hmm. I went to Walgreens, and the guy said, you know, yeah, I see you got your poster on the wall. Is everything okay? You all right and everything? I said, yeah, I'm fine. You know, just a poster on the wall. But he thought it was totally odd at the time. And when I put the video up, everybody else thought it was
Well, this
odd.
Is the most involved, the most... This is the most involved anticlimactic story of a poster I've ever heard. I've never heard somebody talk about a poster this long.
It's the only story I've ever heard about a poster.
I'm getting the origin story of a poster, man.
It's the unbreakable of poster stories.
This man is going to tell me more about this poster than himself. Well, this is like... This is like he's telling this shit like this is Avengers or some shit.
Open a huge book. Back in the day, in the first year of our Lord.
Yeah. I'm sorry I asked.
And that is the legend of the poster.
Hey, this is like the goddamn Lord of the Rings of posters, man. It's like we were just walking to that field. It goes
books one and two.
Yeah, this is a trilogy, he tells.
It just carried on from then and there, and I've been doing it for like since 2013. So it's been a while.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Glad to hear that.
Ask him about the eyebrows.
No, I'm saving my questions for when I can see him. Martin's asked me to ask you a few questions. I'm saving those questions until I actually get to see you. Tell you what, brother.
Okay.
This is what we're gonna do. Whenever you get that webcam. Or whatever, or however you can do a visual, and we can talk to you online with video. You get a hold of me, and then we'll get you back on, and we'll talk all day, man, about posters and everything else.
For sure. Like I said, at least by next week, by the end of next week or this week, I should have one. And like I said, we'll keep in touch.
Please do, man. Please do. I like you, man. You're a really nice guy. I would love to keep in touch with you.
Thank you. Yeah, but like for sure.
You damn right I do, man. I tell you what, Correll, let me tell you what I would like to do. This is my dream. I would love to actually get some money and have you fly in for one of our events, and you host karaoke night for everybody.
That would be bomb. That's all I really wanted to do, man. It's just really just to perform in front of live people, because I had a chance to perform in front of live people. It was a different situation, but yeah.
What do you mean different situation? Were you about to put your dick out in front of somebody?
Well, there were other people there.
Other people there. Okay. No, Correll, it is a dream of mine, man. I've been watching your videos. I love them. I want you to come on and perform. I'm looking at you.
Response.
You would, man, that room.
You would blow it up.
You would, man. Shit, that building wouldn't be there no more.
Yeah.
Have these people lose their mind. I want you to come out one day, and I want you to come out in everything I see in this video. I don't want no shirts in sight. I want you to be topless. Whatever it is, we already got a fan over here. But Denise over here talking about, woohoo. Denise going to try to catch you. Fuck you. I'm going to let you know right now.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know right now, man. She's a little girl, but she will tackle your ass and drag you back to wherever she needs to jump on your to jump your bones, man, and your muscles. I'm telling you, boy, you got fans.
You think
over
you're strong, but
no, you think you buff? Shit, you ain't no, you ain't nothing on this goddamn Mexican devil over here. Sorry to say Tasmanian, no, just to be a fucking tornado going around the room, just suck you in, man. She's ready. You got a girlfriend, Correll?
Oh man. I would say no right now, but there's a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot to choose from. And to be very honest, I don't think I could be faithful in a relationship right now. But yeah, there's too many of them.
That body cannot be put. That body, you know, one person is not meant to enjoy that body. That body is meant to be spread around.
It's a force of nature.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. I got you. I know exactly what you mean. Shit, I used to think the same thing about myself.
Yeah, but you weren't that.
I was never a Correll Bufford. You know? Yeah, you know, I was, but you know, I had a little something going on, man. But I understand. So what I want to do, I want you to have the whole outfit, man. I want whatever hairstyle you wearing in these videos. I want that. I want them eyebrows. I'm gonna ask you about your style later on. Again, we get you on video because when I get you on video, I want you to look like you are in these videos that we're watching. Can you do that?
Yeah, I always do. I
could
definitely do that. Yes.
Oh shit. Okay. That's his uniform.
Gotta go to work.
Shoe polish number 61.
Yeah, man. Correll, you are very, very, very one of the most interesting people I know, and I mean that in the best way. I have to tell you, man, you brought a lot of happiness to us here on the show. We really enjoyed watching you. Now we've enjoyed talking to you. So we're going to talk later when you get your video stuff up. And at that point, then, you know, we'll see how that goes. And then maybe, just maybe, one of these places that we are, because you're in Arizona, right?
Yes.
Maybe I'll get them over in L.A., if we ever go to L.A.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
If we go to L.A. again.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, you been to L.A., Correll?
Yeah, I went to L.A. for America's Got Talent.
You mean they didn't pick you?
You didn't win?
Huh?
You didn't win?
No, I didn't win, no.
That show's rigged.
Exactly.
America's Got Talent, and he lost.
I guess I could tell that story.
This is America right here.
He'll tell us the full story.
Yeah, tell us the full story. Yeah, shit. Yeah. Yeah, they got security. Get his ass out. Yeah, man.
Okay, well.
We will talk later, all right?
Okay.
All right, Correll. Thank you very much, brother. Hit me up and let me know what's going on. We'll keep in touch. Like I said, I'm gonna get you somewhere. So let's not lose touch, all right?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Correll.
Bye-bye.
Nice guy.
It really was him.
No, it really wasn't him. No, very nice. Very nice guy. I really like this guy, man. I like this guy a lot. I would, like I said, I'd love to get this guy on. I can't say nothing. I can't even repeat what the chat is talking about.
Come on, chat. Be nice.
I can't say nothing, man. I can't say nothing. Look at that. This is underwhelmed. Man, he's on the phone. It's not the real video.
Yeah.
Come on now. I know y'all want to see him, but I got to get him when he's on. I got to get him when he's got his stuff together.
Okay, how much is the webcam?
Think I should send them one?
Yeah.
Maybe I will. You know, maybe
wait, like $40?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good investment.
Yeah. Then I got to pay for somebody to go over there and put it together for him.
he might be able to read the instructions.
I'll see, man. You know what? If I have to, I'll buy him a webcam. I might do that. God damn it. I told you not to even say that name once. I thought that was
I think that's Gord Goodwin.
I'm sorry, man. I thought it was, what's up, man? Corey Goodwin in the house. What is up? I thought it was Carlos.
My brain told me it was Corey, and then the way you reacted.
What's up, man?
And happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was Carlos, man. I'm sorry.
The way you reacted, I was like, oh, well, is that Carlos? Are they starting to morph into each other?
I saw that hoodie, man. Carlos always coming in with that hoodie, man.
I was like, I saw it takes is a hoodie and a beard to look like
Carlos.
Aren't you glad I unlocked the door?
Thank you for letting me.
Oh, tell you what, man. You can come sit down while I go. I'm going to take a pee real quick.
Uh-huh. Wow, you step in just to watch the show. You put back to work.
Yeah, hey.
So
where's my check?
Good one. What's been going on with you?
Nothing, man. I've been super busy. Just running around, trying to do some actual career goal stuff now. So I'm trying to be a little more on top of that. So I am super busy. Yeah.
Good. You still working the same gig that I?
Yes. Well, I don't know because I had like all the stuff like right when I left the show, I changed, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. After that, I rolled in to the program thing I'm doing now. So, yeah, I'm still doing the same thing.
We're being so vague.
Yeah, apologies.
I'm trying to respect your privacy, but I was like, I don't know at what point he wants to talk about
No, fuck it. I'll put it out there. Okay. So right now I work at a leasing office, which is, I'm kind of doing that in between jobs right now.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, that's still a job. I'm not out here like in the streets with all these other bums. Like, I'm not, that ain't me. But I'm also doing I'm in a program for like writing and things like that. So
okay, yeah,
to get into to get into advertising, kind of the same around the same kind of thing that Gertz does.
Doing. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now. So that's keeping me super busy all the time. So like I was like, oh yeah, I'm coming by the studio. Let me go bring his comics up here. And I got a movie that what's his name, Compton, let me borrow Dead Leaves that I've had for like half a year. So
okay.
Sorry. So bringing that back. So come up here and get your stuff when you got time.
Well, he shows up about once every half a year. So
oh, okay. Well, you know where it is.
So his lunar cycle should be coming up soon.
Yeah, hopefully. But how have you been?
Oh, I've been good. You know, last year was a very eventful year. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that commercial was one of the last things I did from last year, and I was like, mm-hmm. I wonder if this is gonna come out. And I was like, well. There it is. Let's open it out there.
And it was that easy.
I feel like a moron for being naive about the fact that would generate memes. It never even occurred to me.
Martin, you've been on the internet for how long now?
I know. Like I said, I felt stupid. Hey, so have you seen Blindspotting yet?
Yes, I saw it when I was in Houston.
Did you?
I loved it.
Right, right. Yeah. Any resemblance between you and the main character? Because that's all I could think about the whole time I was watching it.
I can see that light skin, beard. I mean, without the hair, but like, I can see
you
it.
You all had a very similar manner about yourselves.
Oh yeah, it's like I don't want to be here for the shit, but if I have to handle the shit, I'll handle the shit. Yeah, yeah.
Just that whole thing, being in there and telling other people they're being idiots, but being like. What can I do right now?
yeah, I see it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I talked to Coleman about it a while ago, and he's like, yeah, I loved it too.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me get your seat back because I got a jet.
Are you hanging out?
No, I'm about to head out.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Again.
You know your gifts are back there.
Yeah, I know. My birthday girl bag.
Yeah. Gertz gave him a bag got birthday girl on it. Yeah, it's back there, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, in case everybody wants to know, yes, him and Gertz are still together. They're still dating. Now you can see. Now you see, man.
No, it's good to see you.
There he goes. Look at him. Give him hugs to everybody. The gift of Corey. See you. There he is. Hey, guest appearance by Corey Goodwin. Boy, it's just a star-studded night, isn't it?
I know.
Correll Buford and then Corey Goodwin.
Buffered.
I'm sorry, Buffered.
Buff.
Correll Buford's that old white racist sheriff in Mississippi, right?
That's what that sounds like.
Correll Buford. You're going to get them big boys. Yeah, man. Yeah, I like the way Margaret was like, man, this is underwear. What do you think the Negro was going to do? Just get on the
I know. You can start dancing over the phone.
Did you think he was going to ask you? You think he's just going to lose his fucking mind?
Everybody's got to have a running commentary on everything.
Damn, it's not even a real interview. Y'all heard me say that I'm just reaching out.
Yeah,
I mean through the whole thing, I said, man, we're going to really do this when I can get you on video.
Right, right. Well, no, the main thing was to establish that it was actually him.
Yeah, yeah, and that's him.
is
him.
Oh, that's him.
Well, I can see him and Felix together. I would be far across the room, but I could see them in a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you wouldn't want to have the two of them corner you, but if one was on you and you could direct them toward the other and just have them talk with each other and go into a loop.
Oh, yeah. They'll start wrestling or something, man. This room would not be standing anymore. You know what I mean?
You go like, I don't know, Felix. I don't think you could pick him up.
yeah, because Felix, that's why I had to stop him sometimes. Like, man, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, Felix, but don't grab anybody while you're in and pick them up off the ground. You know, just be normal and give a handshake.
I know we always say this, but that reminded me of something I've been wanting to talk to you about for weeks. Can you remind me when the show is done?
Yes.
It's just something I want to ask you about, which I think I know the answer, but I just want to ask.
Is this bad?
No, it's not bad at all. It's okay. Old.
It's old. Okay. All right. I was like, oh, damn, what do you do now?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
Nothing at all like that.
Well, all this took off so quickly, y'all. We didn't have time to actually welcome you folks out there. So please, please, please. We're sorry that
Stop pouting.
Yeah, I know. What about me sitting at home? You always invite me to the show. I mean, I never go. But I still want my invitation. All right. We remember you folks. We just had to, you know, a couple of people take us by surprise. So let's go ahead and welcome the rest of the folks out there. Want you in the studio one day. But until then, pop open that keyboard and type in for us K-Cool Mans.
koolmanz@gmail.com. That's koolmanz at gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Want to be part of the show this evening? As well, ask you to. In that email, put your phone number there, put your Skype contact in there, press enter, bam! Up in your home, hollering at you. The only host in the world, do the house calls. On the Instagram, double_toasted. You're going to type in. On Facebook, type in double toasted. But if you want some private time with me, type in corey.coleman.5. If I'm too busy out there hollering at people, Mr. Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_nofro, or just look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. It's so easy.
It is easy. But you can catch Martin up in the World Famous Double Toast Studios now with two stank-ass couches. All you got to do is email us at kcoolmanz@gmail.com. That's KCOOLMANZ@gmail.com, because you know you're going to be visiting Austin. Some of you have even moved here, and that's fine. But what is not okay if you do not come see a show. So please let us know. Come see a show. Allow us to give you some details. After you give us some details, we're going to coordinate with each other, and that way we can accommodate you. Oh shit, that bass line's still going.
I love it.
He's feeling it today. Oh, see what we got here. Good to see you, Sharonda. I might call you up in a little while. You know what?
Oh, double.
Then got them double
toasty.
Got them those double D's. Putting out them double shirts for DTmerch.com. Well, I don't know how y'all can miss these items when it's on them. They are popping out with the black classic tee with the white logo. Oh, she's got that. Denise got that color. She got the fruit flavors on her titties. Oh, we got the stew pot right there. We got the backpack. We got the little shirts for the little crumbs that are coming up. Oh, the phone covers and the gift cards. And I want to remind people that I got something settled. It was a little something I had to take care of, but I'll tell you, by the end of the week, you're going to get your gift cards. I was going to send them last week, but something happened where I just ran into a little snafu and I got it settled, but you will be getting that probably even sooner. Remember that also, we get by with your support, which means we get by with your subscriptions. So please, if you love what we do, you love the streams, keep them going. By subscribing, even if you don't do it for yourself, do it for somebody out there who is not fortunate enough to have that toasted goodness all over their bodies, like these girls over here. And woo, look at them on a roller coaster all of a sudden. Yeah! And you can try it out 7 days for free, see what you're getting into. But if you don't like it, no hard feelings. In fact, we even give gifts to people who are shitty like you. Take the audio. Keep it. You can find it on SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere. Wherever you find it, it's going to be free. But when you do come back, we've made it easier than ever for you to be a toasty and subscribe. All right. Let me see here. Some the chat something about, was it him? Was it Correll Buford? Yeah, it was him. It was him, y'all. That was definitely him. So he was not lying. That's why.
Was it Billy on the phone?
You would, Billy wouldn't. Billy's a great actor, but he wouldn't have been able to keep that up. He would have started laughing in the middle of it somewhere.
Yeah, or just taking it a little bit too far, where you go like, hold on a second.
I mean, they do have something in common. They can't keep them shirts on. So you know, Billy could actually play him in the TV movie, the Correll Buffer story. Can't you see Billy playing his role?
Oh, I totally could.
I've seen Billy do this before.
That genie dance.
That genie. Yeah. Now, what gets me is that. Yeah. Shit, is that them lyrics, boy? So, I will not go. Turn the lights up. This is my favorite part coming up. That's when he gets lost himself in. If you can't find joy in that, man, if you can't be happy to see somebody else as happy as he is.
The idea of us having an event with just full of toasties and him doing karaoke up on stage at someplace like Common Interest.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It just blows my mind. because that stage is elevated, so we'd really be up there.
Oh, they, you know, we'd have to get the place to ourselves. Like, we couldn't have, because, I mean, the common interest, you couldn't, you'd have to buy the place out, because it would take them 5 hours to get up there and sing. And, you know what, we'd be better off getting a karaoke machine and doing it ourselves somewhere. Yeah. You know, wherever our venue is, we'd just be better off getting a karaoke machine and a DJ or whatever and letting
Well, we'd probably have a stage. So.
Just, yeah, oh, yeah, we'd have a stage. And just, you know what, and just, I don't have to say nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, Corel Buford.
But
make that intro.
But like the L.A. show? We do one of those, and it wouldn't take that much to fly them out there. I'm sure Southwest flies from Arizona to L.A. for super cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd be happy.
Well, we get Sammy the one with the crowd. Oz does his little stand-up, and then before we even come
on. Did you hear
on,
what you just said?
Oh, ooh.
Oz does his little stand-up, man, boy.
Oh, you just, shit, I just talked about it, too.
If you had just not on this show know, been this going off show. On that.
I don't mean to diminish Oz's stand-up at all, because he was fantastic.
It ain't nothing little about Oz at all.
No, there's not. No, I meant, okay, so, you know what, I said Oz does his little stand-up, and what I meant to say was Oz does a little stand-up.
Okay, now you're like,
that's nice attempt. That honestly is how I meant to say it, but yeah, I hear how it came out.
You explain that to him.
My apologies, great and powerful.
What about my stand-up?
I misspoke. Please have mercy.
I'm going to beat your little ass.
Yes, as well you should. But yeah, Oz does his thing, and then some Corel Buford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he'll be there.
And then back again to close out the show.
Yeah. Yeah, these people. No, that'd be for the after party, after Ray does his thing and everything. Just close out the night with this man. Just let him get the crowd going while we just go down the street somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
We don't want Ray going like, man, I can't follow that.
No, because you can't. None of us can. I mean, I'll try. But yeah, man, that's why you put him on last.
Gotcha.
Yeah, let him close out the night. Because it's karaoke.
Yeah.
Just let everybody go at it.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, y'all have been on my ass about this show, man. I've had so many emails from people asking me, Corey, have you seen you? Yeah, every day, man. I look at myself every day with delight. half the time, I ain't got this many clothes on when I'm doing. Yeah, I love me. I mean, have you seen you? You goddamn right I have. But we're talking about the Netflix show, You. And a lot of people are saying, man, you say you like things that are uncomfortable. You like things that make you feel awkward. Well, boy, have we got the show for you. Turns out you got this story of a guy who he's handsome, he's charming. He ain't got the best job in the world, but he does well with his money, and he's very modest. I mean, you know, girls just looking for a nice guy like that, right? You know, all these girls talking about, all I want is a nice guy who cares about nothing but me. When he looks at me, he sees nothing else.
Be careful what you wish for.
And this guy is that guy. Except that when he sees you and he sees nothing else, that's going to be 24/7. He's going to be looking at you when you sleep. He's going to be looking through your window when you don't think he's there. He's probably looking at you taking a shit somewhere. Got a stalker on your hands.
Going through your phone.
That's the one reason why I can only say you don't want no nice guy. A guy's too nice to me. He's looking at your ass when he shouldn't be. He's over in the bushes jacking off somewhere looking at you. And you don't even know it. Yeah, that's one time I got to say, no, get yourself an asshole. You know, he might have to deal with some bullshit, but it's a little safer.
If he's self-centered, that takes the pressure off you.
Yeah. Tell you what, you ain't got to worry about nobody else messing with you. Because they'll be dead. Now, you know, let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for You, and then we'll elaborate on the series a little bit more as Martin and myself, we come in and give a review about this. And also, when discussion is done, I'm going to recommend some movies that are similar to this in a certain way, probably not even the way that you're thinking about it, but I have some other recommendations for all you people out there who enjoyed this series here.
I believe in love at first sight.
No real words?
Only fake ones.
Everything ship. Oh, I love that.
It's so easy, so right. This is how our story goes, Beck.
I think I might really like him.
Jack!
too much?
That's perfect. What a crazy thing to do. If I just keep being the perfect boyfriend, you'll realize I'm not a maybe. I'm the one. Love is tricky. Can we get real for a second? You have questionable taste in friends. A guy needs to protect himself.
She's lucky she has me. Beck rarely knows what's best for her.
It scares me to love someone so completely and not have them love you back. I need to know who you really are. I've read people wrong in the past.
Are you following me? I'm on to you.
I won't let it get in the way of us.
I think you're hiding something. You're being crazy.
Honestly, you're lucky to have me. Every relationship has its obstacles to overcome, right?
It's funny that a lot of people are talking about this now, because before it was on Netflix, this was actually a Lifetime show.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, because a lot of people had been talking about it, and I saw like the date going back to like August and September of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's the thing with this being on Lifetime, because you know that. Lifetime, you don't come this hard, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
it's always a woman in trouble. Usually, the same four actresses over and over.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And they don't come this hard. And there's nothing really funny or even smart about this stuff.
Yeah, when you think of a Lifetime, like, you know, like you even wonder, like, where did LT even get this money? Because they usually don't even have enough. They usually have enough money to make something look this good. It's usually somebody filming something in somebody's house in the suburbs, or some actress or actor who. You know, they are E level now. They ain't even D, C, B. You know, they are people that just, you know, they just trying to stay relevant in these things. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's usually the stories are terrible.
Yeah.
It's some generic ass romance, some wannabe romantic comedy that was turned down by Hollywood somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's and later, you know, and usually around 6 o'clock is some shit on there for your grandma or something, you know. It's,
and then there's the obligatory movie where Valerie Bertinelli has a husband who faked his own death.
Oh yeah, there's that. Around Christmas, they'll do their own woman version of a Christmas Story or something, you
right.
know. it's some, look, Lifetime is some bullshit. So I don't know what they were thinking when they decided that they didn't want to do a second season with this, because everybody was talking about this. It's almost like Lifetime just wants bullshit. It's like Lifetime said, well, shit, man. If they see this, they're going to expect us to spend this much money all the time.
We can't do this all the time.
Yeah, shit, we'll go broke trying to do this. I'm pissed off these grandmothers out here with all this cursing and sex talking. They're like, no, hey, Netflix, take this shit, man. We don't want it.
Because the funny thing about it, you watch this show, there's clearly breaks for commercials.
Yes. Yeah, that's another thing why I looked it up, because it stops. That's like... Is Netflix about to pull commercials on here? Because I was getting mad. Like, look, I pay for this shit, all right? I thought a commercial was about to come up.
There's breaks for commercials, but they also drop F-bombs. So you're like,
oh, yeah.
These two things don't go together.
Drop F-bombs? Hell, they drop fucking period. They have sex through here. They are talk. You know, they say fuck shit and all kind of things. I really, this must have been like some BET After Dark shit for Lifetime. Yeah, yeah, Lifetime After Dark. You know, Lifetime was. I think what happened with Lifetime, they were looking at things like 50 Shades of Grey. And said, all right,
yeah,
now that the housewives can get all horny and crazy and all sexual, then you know we can put some on like this.
Because before I ever watched the show, I saw that preview and I thought, well, this looks like 50 Shades of Grey if Christian Grey wasn't rich.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And before it was actually on Lifetime, it was a book from Carolyn Kepnes. You can see it's a success. I mean, Stephen King says, scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, he says that for everything.
I know, he probably didn't even say that.
I've read so many books. Oh, I mean, used to read so many books just because he endorsed them. I was like, well, he likes it.
I know.
It must be good.
Hey, Stephen King, can you endorse my book? Scared the fuck out of me. It's a children's book, man.
I know.
It's called My Pee and My Poo. I know, that's terrifying, ain't it?
Ooh,
shit, man. Never mind. I'll put it on there.
Just put it on anyway. His name sells anything.
My first lemonade stand. Fucking horrifying. But it was a book before that. And we were talking about 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I got to tell you, I love this for one simple thing, and that is telling these women out there, for all of y'all who were blinded by all these billions this man has, mm-hmm. all these jets in that penthouse, you know, all these luxurious trips and dinners and everything, pull all that shit away, and the motherfucker's crazy.
I had a rough start in life. You should steer clear of me.
Got me hopeless. You're just crazy.
Yeah, just falling out of nowhere.
I love this because this is like this book is the this book in the show is the anti 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, man, look, I don't care what this dude has. He's fucking nuts. Uh-huh. That's why I don't like that, man, because it was really to tell these women who were looking at this as something that was all women empowerment because it gives us the power of our sexuality. How does being tied up in a dungeon waiting for a crazy motherfucker to let you go, how is that empowering?
Well, not only that, empowering, but it's all this fantasy of like, yeah, but what if you had a guy who was so dedicated to you that all he thought about was you?
That's insane. That's exactly. Called a stalker. I guarantee you, give that shit one day by 11 p.m. Will you take your ass on somewhere? I'm taking a shit. Will you please shut the door and leave me alone?
I know, but you're just so beautiful the way you do it.
Do you need any toilet paper? And get the fuck out. Go home. It's insane. All those movies, the 50 Shade trilogy, uh-huh. It is about a guy who is not normal. The only thing is he has enough money to just have a thread of sanity to keep him from crossing over because he can afford to woo women.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of money you have where nobody tells you no or says, "Hey, man, I think you ought to not do that."
Yeah, yeah. Sitting up there, you know, I'd wipe your ass for you. That's insane. This right here,
I'll clean you with my tongue.
this here is showing you that. Dudes like that who make you the center of their world, the things that a lot of people think they want, mm-hmm. is telling you that is not normal. And having billions of dollars doesn't mean anything. You strip it all away and you have not only a person who's not normal, a person who's potentially dangerous. It has the potential to be an abusive relationship, no matter what the good intentions are of that person, no matter how much they say they love you, no matter how much they come across as a romantic person. Because they're not doing the, they're not out in front like the drunk, mean,
right.
Macho, domestic abuser.
Right.
You know what I love? They told like they chose like a really cute, thin, mm-hmm. almost non-threatening guy.
Yeah, not non-threatening, handsome, urbane. He's funny. He's got a good personality.
Penn Badgley plays Joe, and Joe has every and you know what and. What's great about this is that it shows how if you tweak just a couple of elements, two or three elements, how you can have something in one genre and just shift it over to another. Mm-hmm. Because what you were looking at here, this is a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
at least a dark thriller.
A thriller, yeah.
Yeah, no, sure. You're looking at a horror movie, but they've taken, you know, what they've taken they've taken the scares and replaced them with romance, charm, humor. Yeah, you don't even realize, like, another thing I loved about this is that I heard people talking about it, but it still caught me off guard mm-hmm. in the beginning. Because in the beginning, it really is like you're watching the beginning of a romance.
Oh yeah,
a romantic comedy, a dramedy, a straight romance. If you go in cold and you watch this in the beginning, it will really throw you off, and it will actually kind of it'll even give you like a warm, bubbly feeling as you're watching. As when the girl that he meets, Beck, who is played by Elizabeth, Elizabeth Lell, who's great in here too. I'll talk about her performance in a little bit. But when they first meet, it's like the meeting that you see not only in movies like this, but a lot of times if you're smooth enough in real life.
Uh-huh.
It's very relatable, man.
This movie plays off of a lot of things that we see, we take for granted, tropes from movies.
Yes.
So many of the romantic comedy tropes. And the ones that people play in their heads, oh, it should be like this. It'll be a meet cute, like in the movies.
Yeah.
And he'll be that perfect guy like this. And this whole fantasy you write, this narrative, and it's like, this is not good.
This guy is not socially awkward. No, he actually, yeah. What's great about it is that he builds it up as a romance, and you think you're about to watch a romance film, because this guy doesn't take somebody to be socially awkward or sitting in the corner talking about, hey, can I play with your hair? You know, it's like this dude is actually, he knows the right things to say all the time because, and I don't get, you know, this, I don't, you know, they tell you later, but the guy, he's observant enough to actually say the right things.
Okay, I'm going for it.
Good, you won't regret it.
I better not.
Paula Fox, nice. You know, she was Courtney Love.
Get your ass.
I know. I will kill you.
You shut the fuck up, man.
Eternal grandmother.
That's why I'm buying it.
You have enough cash to cover this, but you want me to know your name.
Guinevere?
Yeah, my parents were assholes with the whole naming thing.
Hey.
But everyone just calls me Beck. And you're Joe?
Goldberg. Everyone calls me Joe.
Aren't you going to tell me to have a nice day?
You have a nice day, Beck.
You have one yourself, Joe.
You smiled, laughed at my jokes, told me your name, asked for mine.
She read her number on there?
I swear to God, if you don't get your ass back in that shit, and they think I'm the creepy one. He just been behind the mirror the whole time, the glass.
And that's the funny thing. If that other guy had been doing any stuff he did, he'd have been labeled a creep, and they would have all stayed away from him and talked shit about him, and this movie would never have progressed.
If that guy had the same narration that this cute guy right here did, then would it? Yeah, it would have been creepy. Turns out this guy is actually that's the guy he works with. Zach Cherry plays his coworker, who is the person of color, you know, sidekick, friend, buddy, a comedy relief sometimes.
And the truly non-threatening guy.
And the real non-threatening guy, even though y'all be ready to call, y'all be ready to mace his ass before this dude right here.
He actually gone out to her friends. You would not believe the creep in the bookstore.
With his fucking beard and his fat. Yeah. His balding hairline. Fucking creep. But, yeah, man, you know what's... To me, and I'd like to get your input on this. The scariest thing about this to me is not Joe, but it's the way that if you just frame something a certain way, people will accept. People will accept that narrative. Joe is, you know, in Joe's mind, he's doing nothing wrong. In Joe's mind, Joe is actually he feels like he's owed this because of the things that we said. He's very charming, he's handsome, he knows the right things to say. And because of that, that makes me more scared of normal people who look at him and accept him as the norm, because that's what we're taught to accept. You know, and we see it going on today too. You know, Joe. Joe is that average white male who's good looking enough to be non-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this being out right now is a perfect time for that, because for some reason, man, I don't know what it is. And it ain't no reason for it to happen, because this dude's been infamous for years. We know the dirt this guy's done. And for some reason, this guy's becoming somewhat of another heartthrob out there.
Have you been fit, Bundy?
I've never spoken to anybody about this. I am looking for an opportunity to tell the story as best I can.
You know, that's another Netflix property. Conversations with the Killer.
Sure.
And a lot of these women now are starting to actually fall for Ted Bundy.
But that's nothing new. You've always had women fall for these serial killers, like Richard Ramirez.
Yeah,
you know, he got married, and he got married. He had his choice because he had lots of women writing him love letters and marriage proposals.
Yeah,
this happens with these killers. I don't know if it's just their status of being somewhat famous, but it always happens. And out of all those guys, Ted Bundy was known as the handsome dude killer from the very beginning. That's always been his thing. If you look up every time there's been a biopic, usually on television of him, look at the actors they get to play him.
Oh, you know what? No, you're right. But I'm saying that there's more now of a resurgence of Ted Bundy.
And yeah, that's what I'm surprised by, this resurgence of Ted Bundy.
And it's not just all these crazy chicks, you know, these murder fans out there that love, you know, the serial killers. It's kind of like the media is putting it out there that we're supposed to like take this guy in some sort of superstar way. They got that movie out there. That's what I was mad about. They done villainized my little sweetie, man, my Zaki Poo.
Is he playing Ted Bundy?
He is playing Ted Bundy. And listen,
no.
And I don't think Ted Bundy is that good looking. Like people say, he doesn't look crazy. But
he looks like a normal, somewhat handsome guy.
Yeah, and they got Zac Efron to play him in this movie, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Vile, and Evil.
That guy's been staring at you all night.
What do you say we get out of here?
What is it about this guy? When I feel his love, I feel like I'm on top of the world.
There are things you don't know.
Hi, officer. I think I must be lost.
That will shock you beyond your worst nightmare.
You know, it's...
Yeah, you'd have been dead in a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, this is you know, you got there's a controversy about this movie where they're talking about, man, if you watch the whole trailer, it's making it seem like it's some caper or something. Like he's about to do a heist, not murder like 30 women, possibly more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's why it's a perfect time to have the series You out there, because the series is addressing that whole thing of, oh, Siri, thought I was talking to her. Girl, I ain't talking to you. Gone. One of the screen just went blank. Did you mention that cutie Ted Bundy? Girl, if you don't, I said series, not. But this is addressing that at the perfect time now, when Ted Bundy is becoming somewhat of a trend again. Mm-hmm. This is saying, you know, let's talk about this whole thing of the average to good looking white male not being threatening when they're being, you know, and I'm not saying, look, I'm not talking about white people at all, but you know, just because we don't look at that group, there's a lot of shit going on in that group that's taken as the norm.
Yeah. And when you're not being looked at, you can get away with a lot.
Yeah. While we're looking at terrorists, white nationalists are like, you know, coming up. While you're looking at somebody like this guy in the background with his, you know, who's not as good looking as this guy, who's the creep on a normal everyday that girls are coming into the store, this guy is the real one that's doing all the shady shit. I like that this is addressing that right now, and I think that they're doing it in a really cool way, because one of the things that this series wants to do, wants to challenge everybody.
It really does.
It challenged me on that.
Well, same here, because I knew from the preview what he was all about. And this first episode, it tells you very clearly what he's all about. And I was curious about the show, but I wasn't sure I was going to watch it. A lot of people were like, I don't know, we can't stop watching it. And it took my daughter going like, I don't know, Dad, I watched this. It's pretty good. You got to watch it. And I was like, all right, for you.
Yeah.
I was struck by it. I was not prepared for how funny it was.
Yeah.
That's what got me first. And I was like, you know, it's going to be fun to watch this show because it's all in his voice. And we've been prepped for decades now with characters like Tony Soprano and Walter White,
mm-hmm.
who are not good people, and yet we follow them. They've been our heroes.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So, yeah, this guy's a stalker. He's a creep. He's not the hero, but he is the narrator, and he is charming and funny. He's making me laugh. All right, let's go with this. And there's even some things where he has setbacks where I'm like, I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm kind of rooting for him at times.
Well, you do that because
– but then again, shit happens. It reminds me like – no.
Well, they make it very easy to root for him because, again, it's a complex show.
It is.
A lot of people have seen it already, but if you haven't seen it, it's a complex show where they, you know, the guy is not
completely evil. Right. In fact, he's got a good heart. I mean,
yeah, he does some good things.
This man, I mean, you know, if you let your guard down, you become endeared to Joe. I mean, the man feeds the children.
I know.
He goes
trying,
home.
He's trying to protect an abused child.
Yeah, he lives next door to a kid named Paco whose parents are just messed up. And, you know, he sees Paco out on the doorstep and he's just kind of like, you know what, boy, take my sandwich from me. I don't need it.
Wife, coming home, got the store for you.
Is everything cool in there?
Yeah, Mom and Ron are just talking.
Wow, you are burning through that book, aren't you?
Reads quick. It's good.
Well, let me know when you finish. I'll get you another one.
Screw you, Ron! Get out of here! You know what?
Are you hungry? Because, you know, I just got this meatball sub, but I remembered I have Thai from last night.
No, my mom will just make me something later.
It's a shame. This won't keep. It's getting tossed.
You sure, Joe?
All for one and one for all.
Boy, you happy to get that sandwich. you might be crazy as fuck, Joe, but I'm hungry as fuck. Snatch that shit like Gollum.
Hey, mine.
Joe ain't got no fingers. Damn, kid. Slow down. by the way, don't ever, I'm not endorsing creeps or trying to help them out, but don't ever tell your business to a kid. That's one thing I don't understand.
I know.
They will rat your ass out.
They will. They don't even know they're doing it.
They don't even know they're doing it. I got you, Joe. I asked the police for help. I saw you in the backyard with that shovel. I thought you made it.
Oh, kid. God damn it.
Thanks for the sandwich, Joe. God damn it.
But, yeah, not only do they show that he has a good heart and he wants to do good things, mm-hmm. but you also get the contrast of the fact that the girl that he's in love with, that he's going after, at times she kind of sucks.
And even
more than that, her friends, especially one in particular, they're kind of awful. To the point where you're like, he's actually a positive influence in her life.
Well, yeah, he's getting – because she wants to be a writer.
Yeah.
He's getting back to write. He's exposing her to the shallowness of her friends and how they're a distraction to her career too. Yeah. You know, everything that he's advising this girl on is actually spot on because he gets to sit back and observe because he's a fucking sociopath.
Right, yeah. And there's that point where you're like, well, this could all work out if he just hadn't done all that – shit,
if he wasn't crazy deep down inside. But at first I thought that was a problem for me because they make it too easy at times to root for him. As I said, man, and you know, when the sociopath is the nicest person in the show, because that's what they do, man. He's surrounded by people that are just bad, man. You know, they're either cheaters or they're shallow, they're self-centered. Like one person is an internet influencer, always taking pictures of herself. Mm-hmm. Another, some sort of rich bitch who's just, she loves to manipulate people with her money. Another girl is nothing about, but you know, just, the most shallow kind of sex, And sometimes these people might be as crazy as he is, might even be possibly killers, except if you got to wait out, they have the shitty attitude. believe it or not, they're kind of shittier people in certain ways. And as you saw in the clip we showed with little Paco, even when he goes home, his neighbors are drug addicts, domestic abusers. So. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, at first I thought like, all right, you know what? Now you're being way too manipulative because you're not challenging me because you're giving me too, if Joe does something to get back at people, you're making me feel like, well, they had it coming. And especially with Beck herself, when we say she's not good, she is
as a girlfriend, she would be horrible.
She is. I mean, hanging around people has just made her somewhat of a shallow person. As a girlfriend, she'd be horrible. She's not a bad person,
right? You get to see kind of like what has messed her up, but
yeah,
still like, man,
she chooses, like, you know, she's the one always talking about, I need a nice guy, and chooses always the worst taste in man. Like this guy right here, Lou Taylor Pucci, Benji. You might have saw this guy, this actor.
That is him.
Thumbsucker.
Yeah, from Thumbsucker.
Yeah, that's him.
I kept thinking he reminded me of that guy, but I wasn't sure it was him.
I was like, man, I want to punch this guy so bad, but what is it that's making me like not want to hurt him that bad?
He was funny though, even under distress, being the douchiest of all douches. There's just still something funny about
douche
it.
Bro. Not just a douchebag, a douche bro. You know, and it's, and, but he was funny even when he's in danger. But it's still, you know, and that's where they get you, because it's like, man, look, these people are bad, but do they deserve to be? Look, we ain't gonna like make a concentration camp of douche bros, right, put them in cages and abuse them. Right. And that's when you start to see the ugly side of, because at first I said, man, they're really making it hard for me to be against Joe. But there are moments that are truly disturbing with Joe, even when it's funny. Because when they lock,
even when it's funny, it's still disturbing.
When they lock Benji up, it's just kind of like, okay, man, the world needs less people like him. But I'm not going to do this.
I didn't think too far ahead when I swung that mallet. I just knew Benji was the worst kind of poison. The kind you know is bad, but can't stop taking. So I did what I had to do to help you, Beck. And now there's an adult human male in the basement of this bookstore.
The basement's soundproof. The owner loved to read in peace down here. I'm sorry.
I told you. I don't know who you are. I don't know why I'm here. I swear.
Confession? I have no idea what to do with him now.
I'm going to give you my family lawyer's number. He'll get you paid.
Of course he thinks I want money.
You know who my father is?
Benjamin Ashby II, hedge fund manager.
We have a jet. We'll send you anywhere in the world.
Best case, that's somewhere far away from you, Beck. Worst case, that ends with prison time. It's not an option.
It's a poppy seed bagel. Extra schmear.
What the hell? I don't eat gluten. It's an allergy, okay? That shit is real. Gluten, dairy. If I ate a peanut, I could die.
You're like, ooh. It's something about this dude, man. Look, like, he's a douche, bro, but I see hipsters like this all the time. I'm kind of used to it. I'm like, man, let the dude go by. You know, like, drop his ass off at a craft brewery somewhere. He'll be all right. That's all you got to do, man. I mean, and he really does. And this doesn't end there. The more you get, because at first, I was thinking, man, these people, maybe they all have it coming, and this is just manipulative in that TV show or movie kind of way. But then they keep going back and forth between what's worse, who's worse.
Uh-huh.
Do I really – should I be rooting for – he's sick, but maybe I should be rooting for him here.
Uh-huh.
But, man, it really does come down to you have to, like, you can never, ever drop your guard with this show.
No, you can't.
Never. You can never. And again, it's not the show that's manipulating you. It's that character. You have – it gets everyone. I'm talking about these girls and Ted Bundy, but there were moments in here where I was like, okay, man, fuck it, I like the guy.
Yeah.
So sue me. You know,
oh, I know. You're like, I don't want to say this out loud, but I like the guy. Oh, that thing that happened to him.
And it doesn't help when you see what he's been through to get to where he is. Uh-huh. Yeah. But then
he'll do something. You're like, man, I can't abide that.
By the time we get to the end of this, you have to realize, like, this is a very sick individual that you're dealing with. And by that point, there are very terrible things that have been done. And sad thing to me is that some people will still sit back and try to justify it because he always has narration going on.
Sure.
And that is the thing that I love about this show.
I always said I want a show from the villain's point of view. And this is that.
And that is what really does it, man. If you didn't have the narration, it still might have you rooting for him. But seeing everything, hearing everything from his point of view is always giving him a chance to explain. You don't ever want somebody to sit down like this and explain this shit to you, because you might actually be stupid enough to fall for it. And there were a couple of times I was. And that narration is the thing that makes us always, like, right when we're about to enter horror movie territory, or dark thriller territory, he always manages to bring it back into, oh, this is a quirky romance. Oh, this is, hey, isn't this funny?
Yeah.
And
this is just what you go through. It makes the relationship all that much more worth it.
Yeah. And I got to give credit to the girl that, I mean, a lot of people in here that are playing certain roles. Peaches, man. Yeah. This girl, Jesus, I couldn't stand this chick, man.
Oh, I know.
As anybody in here said, they got it coming. It's her, man. But this is the girl that was in, I think Shay Mitchell's her name. She was in that Possession of Hannah Grace. And I was like, I'd like to see her in something better, man, because she is good. And this is it right here.
Yeah.
The girl that plays Beck is really good in here, man, because there's a brief moment they give her own narration.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, you know, that you get to sit back and see why she does certain things that she does.
Yeah.
And honestly, there are even moments where, and see, I this is another thing I love to listen to. To listen to Joe talk about it, you make, man, that's fucked up what she did, man. Fuck that bitch, man. And then you realize, no, that's normal, man. Man, stop talking to me. Shut up. Leave me alone. Because I'm ready to kill this chick. It's like, no, that's normal, man.
It did make me say it's normal, but it's like, all right, you know what? She's just a person like everybody else who does stupid things and are self-destructive sometimes, and we've all done it. And
you always have to look and see why does it seem really bad what she's doing? And it's because there's a guy invading her privacy all the time, following her, looking at her phone, looking at things she does. Like, people do this stuff normally. The thing is that, like, in the early days of a relationship, before you really solidify certain things, she takes certain liberties with that, but it's like, this dude's not even supposed to know.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? This guy's a complete asshole, man. And the more he talks, the more you're like, oh, okay, well, I get it, Joe. And it's like, nah, man, this guy's sick. And by the time it's done, it is a very twisted thing.
It really is. I felt kind of ill when you got to the end.
And I loved it. It made me feel repulsed, and I loved it, man. I was like, okay, now see, this is what you should do.
I know.
I swear to God, y'all ain't taking any other steps.
Y'all have balls. I got to give it to you. I want to throw up right now, but
you, balls. You made Martin sick. Good job. Nah, this is great, man.
You know what else? Another thing about it.
What's up?
Is that it really exposes everybody's reliance on social media and how easy it is to infiltrate somebody's life through that.
You were telling me about that the other day, and and I saw exactly what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. In fact, that comment that you made was the one that made me want to go see this.
Oh, okay.
When we were talking about how easy it is to piece people's lives together all through social media.
Yeah, because everybody, they like to chronicle their life on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's so easy for somebody, easier than ever for somebody who wants to stalk you to
do it. The way he got into her apartment, I was so like, oh, fuck, that's brilliant. Anyone could do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this dude, I mean, like, this dude just spends time on social media just piecing every bit of her life together to the point where, yeah, he can infiltrate her home when she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary thing, man, because I don't think it's too far-fetched.
No, not at all.
Like, you watching all these things where people are doing magic on the internet, all these hackers and shit. It don't take that much.
It really doesn't take that much.
Yeah, man. It's,
you know, somebody, I've come around, I was like, I haven't seen Corey. Where's he been? Oh, he posted on, him and his wife posted on Instagram. They've been out of town. Oh, well, all right.
Well, that's why I tell us, like, you keep posting that food. Somebody want to find us. Trace that hamburger down. Is that...
John Stamos.
John Stamos, man, he was good.
Yeah,
he was good in this. He plays a therapist, and I really liked him in there. You know, this is one where he grew a beard and played against that handsome type himself. Yeah, he didn't know. You know what she said? He looks old, and I'm, you know, he looks older.
I mean, he is. He's like 50.
He's 50 something, but he looks great. In the, he just grew.
No, I always think of him as Zac Efron 1.0.
It's like he's looking at Zac Efron right now. You're still in good shape, man, but this is going to be you. Ted Bundy looking ass. Yeah, man, I have to say that the only thing I regret with this, because even with the shortcomings of what I saw as shortcomings at one time before, ended up working into the story. Mm-hmm. Only thing I have to say, man, that ending was so messed up psychologically that And it gets more disturbing as things happen, man. I'm talking about the sick things that stalkers do. They just show the stuff that they collect.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, man, I'm repulsed at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about just sanitary things. I mean, it's fucking sick, man.
There's sort of that, if I knew you had all this, I don't think I ever would have rooted for you.
No. You didn't know he had a treasure trove of that.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, man. I'm glad they kept that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's such a psychological mindfuck at the end that they want to do a season two.
That's the only thing, yeah. That tease to season two.
Soap opera trashy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this happens so often. So it's like, yeah, you just have to just go like, all right, well, it has a great first season. And no second season.
I'd be willing to see what they do with a second season if they can.
Of course, you have to see.
Of course,
even knowing that it might be a train wreck. If it's going to be a train wreck, you got to at least witness the beginning of it to say, all right, I will not follow this further.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just hope that what they do, because I don't, I mean, that was a an impactful ending that they had.
Because I think it's like that, what was it? Dang, the one where the girl commits suicide and sends all the tapes.
Oh, 13
Reasons Why.
13 Reasons, is that it? 13 Reasons.
Yeah, and yeah, that just seemed like, just from the premise, it's like, that's a one season show.
Yeah.
And then ends going like, and then for the next season, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, man, this is it's amazing. I really like this. I just the ending is like teasing of what they're going to. Now you're going to, like, you made a statement about a lot of things, mm-hmm. feminism gone wrong, the psychology of a stalker. I mean, there are a lot of things that were covered here. Masculinity gone wrong. I mean, there's masculinity in question. There's a lot of stuff here. It was done just right. Now that tease at the end is like, okay, now we're going to some telenovela shit here.
Right.
I don't know how this is gonna play out. I'm gonna watch this to see how y'all either do it or fuck it up.
Yeah.
And did you see this, Miles? Oh, you haven't. I was hoping to get your feedback on this because you have to see this, man.
No, Christian was telling me about this Ted Bundy documentary.
Oh, the Ted Bundy documentary, yeah. Sharonda, I want to bring, as a woman, I want to bring you up real quick because you were one of the people who was saying, are we going to talk about this? Just come up real quick, because as a woman, I don't want you to spoil anything, but everything that we've seen in right here, and being that it's so easy for women to be, more women are victims of stalking than men right now. Yeah. I believe. I'm being Trump right now. I'm just pulling dumb numbers out of my ass.
I mean, we got a stalker, but
yeah. Yeah, we got a few. So,
true.
Yeah, so fuck you bitches. No, but no, you being a woman. Let me pull this down a little bit. Damn!
Sorry,
Jesus. How was that cocaine? Mine just did a major line. Right there was a line to the door. You being a woman, let me bring this forward to you. And women, seemingly that they are at risk of being stalked by a male more than dudes are. Our females, anything. How'd you feel about this?
It was super disturbing, but I loved it. It was so, so good. I did not root for Joe at all.
Okay, there was never a point.
No.
Okay.
No, I thought he was a little nutty. In fact, he reminded me of Ted Bundy from the beginning.
Yeah.
I think that's what they meant, too. That's why I brought that up. So you didn't root for him at all?
No.
And I thought that the point would be that a lot of women would.
No. At least not for me, but I'm weird.
Okay, so you stalk people too. I got a boyfriend. Does he know?
No, I just thought it showcased that everyone had like some type of mental instability going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
no one was really normal except like the bigger guy that he yeah. worked with.
Yeah,
no, and the black woman.
Oh, that's right. Right.
For a few months.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
She got out.
No, well, I don't spoiler. No spoilers here.
Oh, sorry.
she, you living now? You like? Yeah, I'm about to dump my white boyfriend right now. But that's interesting. That's interesting because I thought that shit. I thought I was somebody. I thought like I said, man. Well, I fell for Joe a little bit, but not as much as these women out here. But you didn't at all.
I don't understand the romanticizing of Joe.
But that's another reason why I asked, because I thought it might could be that way with you, because for where we're looking at it from my point of view, it's like we can fall for those things a little bit easier. This is probably really more frightening for you because it's more possible.
Right. Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's why I wanted to get your input on that right there, man. Yeah.
But I felt like there were red flags all through it. Like,
it was one at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't understand how she overlooked a lot of things.
Well, I think because she was a mess. Had she been a more normal person, she would have snapped too.
Well, that's why I meant like no one's really normal. They all had.
And
like,
she was dating
insecurities.
Yeah, and she was dating assholes. And this guy is like just pretty much just looking at her life, invading her privacy to know what to do mm-hmm. and what to say.
Yeah.
So he's coming across as the most normal person that she's probably been with, and the nicest person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why she would fall for him. And, I'm sure she's a mess, but that's what she was eventually looking for. That's why I felt so bad for her when she got knee deep in it.
Yeah, but things started kind of spiraling out of control once he kind of entered her life. And I would have thought that she would have kind of sensed it or picked something up a little sooner.
Well, there's the jealousy. of course. Yeah. You know, the constant, you know, let me see your phone, catching him in places where he probably shouldn't have been.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care.
Yeah, accidentally running into somebody once is one thing.
But two times.
Yeah. Like, whoa. Yeah.
New York is big.
I would say that, but man, I was in New York one time, I think, and I ran into somebody just randomly. I've actually done that a couple of times. Cisco.
Oh, really?
I was coming out of a building, and Cisco was there, man. He was like, hey, how you doing? I was like, wow, funny running to you, unless Cisco is stalking me. Yeah, but yeah, man, it was, I loved it. And I want to thank everybody out there who pushed this on me. Like, this is a full price, no doubt. I don't know what you would say.
Oh, absolutely a full price. It's been a while since I've seen a show that I really have binged like that. And most of the time I'll see a show, I'll like it, and somewhere around the seventh episode, I'll just kind of quit for no reason. And this was that show where I'd be at work and I'd be thinking about, I want to get home because I could probably watch an episode before I got to get out to the studio.
This was not hard to binge at all, man. I started at 2:30 in the morning last night.
Finished
today, man.
Well, it's a good thing it's only 10 episodes.
It was only 10 episodes.
And they're only about 42 minutes.
And I'm glad Marvel's getting your ass. I never thought I would say this about Marvel. I'm glad you're taking your ass out of here, because this just goes to show how y'all were just filling in time.
Yeah.
I just got through watching The Punisher, 13 episodes. It needed less episodes than this.
Yeah.
This knew how to make every episode count.
Yeah.
Every bit of information count, man. This is why television is great.
Something you think doesn't count later counts.
Yeah. For Netflix and Lifetime, you know what? I applaud Lifetime for taking the risk with this and doing it. I applaud Netflix for taking it and putting it out there and making it more aware for people, because this is what good streaming, not just television. This is what good streaming is about.
Yeah.
This is what binging is about. This is something that really fits this new age of entertainment, what we have here in storytelling. 10 episodes and every one of them were great, man. I was hooked the whole time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What would you give it if you had to give it some?
A high full price. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, I binged this on a Sunday and knocked
couldn't
it out.
Stop.
Yeah. I knocked it out. It was so good.
Yeah. Joe said, did you say high full price?
See, look at him. He's so creepy to me.
In his mind, he's like, she gave me a full price. Yeah, she likes me. She's the one. It means she paid for me full price. Thank you, Sharonda. Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, we're not done yet. I want to let everybody know out there that if you like this series, and if you haven't watched it yet, watch it. If you like it for one particular thing that I'm talking about, and that is you have stories told through the narration of somebody who is delusional.
Ah.
I love that because that is what made this.
Me too.
Where you don't know what to think because somebody's feeding you the information the whole time. Nah, man, you don't know. They don't know what they're talking about. I got the real shit. There are a lot more. But I'm just going to hit you with four movies here that go along those lines where you don't know what to think, or better yet, you're thinking ahead of that person saying, man, look, you fucking up. I don't care what you say. And that's what we actually have here at first. This is going to be the most lighthearted thing that we're going to talk about in this whole segment. But there was a movie that came out a few years ago with Matthew Broderick where he played a high school teacher.
That was the first movie I thought of.
Is it?
Because when I think of movies, I love movies with unreliable or delusional narrators. Mm-hmm. And Alexander Payne, the director, makes a lot of movies like that.
Yep.
So Election was the first one I thought of.
Election is the movie where it's narration and you have – Matthew Broderick as a high school teacher who gets into it with one of his students, gets very competitive, and just starts to do things that just ruin his life. But the whole time, in his mind, he's just justifying every little step.
In the nation's capital, a new leader has found a place in the halls of power. But her story began in the halls of high school.
No, bring your ass in. You know you're going to run, too.
I didn't know. Presidential race with three candidates running. The first is Tracy Flick.
One thing that's important to know about me is that I'm an only child. My mom is really devoted to me. She likes to write letters to successful women like Elizabeth Dole and Connie Chung and ask them what advice do they have for me, Tracy, her daughter.
The next candidate for student body president is Paul Metzler.
I just don't think somebody would do something like that on purpose. because I think you did it.
And if you want to keep questioning me like this, I won't continue without my attorney present.
And that's a cool thing, too. She has her own narration, and it's just showing you how she's just 10 steps ahead of this dumbass right here. Because this guy, he's just the whole time, and they don't even tell you what he's doing, because what happens in it is that, first of all, he's justifying why he's doing what he's doing with this competitive little snotty-ass student of his. And you're kind of like, okay, I can see what's happening with her because she's not too much of a likable person either.
Right.
But then it goes off veering into other things in his life that he's doing. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, man, this ain't got nothing to do with what you're doing right here.
Yeah, he's been out of control. But he's narrating, so he sees himself as the hero of this story.
Yes, yes. It's very funny, man. It's very funny, and it's just funny to see how his life does spin out of control from one simple thing.
It's also considered a dark sequel to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Is it?
I mean, I can see that. But like Ferris Bueller, like, yeah, sure, he was a cool kid in high school, but when he grew up, he became a teacher.
And got a taste of his own medicine. Uh-huh. Karma's a bitch. That's even better when you see it like that. Still trying to be cool, too. Yeah, I'm still Ferris. Y'all still love me, right? Oh. Let's go ahead and get into this next one. Now we're going back in the dark territory here. This one is cool because it's not because you have the so-called hero and is trying to narrate his own story and convince you that he is a good person. It's actually it gets to a point where you don't even know if this person's telling the truth because they're so delusional. And that's American Psycho.
Oh, right. New card. What do you think?
Oh, very nice.
There's something sweet about you.
I like to dissect girls. Did you know I'm utterly insane?
And that's one of the things that happens, man. You know, you're not getting a lot of narration in the trailer right here, but he's narrating the things that he's going to do and wants to do. And then to hear him talk about it is crazy enough. But when you see him running naked around a hallway, chasing a hooker with a chainsaw, it's like, man, okay. And then when you finally get to the end of the movie, which I'm not going to say what happens, you wonder, okay, this guy is such a bro. He's definitely a sociopath, but a compulsive liar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's so used to bragging about his life. He's so competitive. You don't know. And believe me, he does some terrible things in the movie. I mean, they call it American Psycho for a reason.
Pat Bateman, you want some money? Some food?
Oh, thank you, mister. Thank you.
It's what a fucking loser you are.
What?
Damn. All I had to do was ready to beat his ass. Like, oh, shit, there's a knife in my belly. No, throughout the movie, he's just narrating this story, and it gets so exaggerated and crazy. I mean, you still kind of question, well, maybe he did it, but
yeah,
the way he's narrating everything and just building himself up, it's like, nah, you know, you could just be full of shit. I mean, it just gets ridiculous, man. You've seen American Psycho, right?
Yeah, I saw it. I guess whenever we saw it way, way back, and everything you're saying is true. I just remember coming out of it going, man, I don't know how I felt about that. I feel like I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I have recently had this desire to go back and rewatch it.
I have too, and for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because I just, especially now that I know people who are delusional myself, I'm just kind of like, man, I kind of, maybe not this crazy, but I kind of know people that can relate.
But
to
it's got all those great scenes, these vignettes. I mean, the whole thing with them was those douches comparing their business cards,
yeah,
and him going off on the aesthetics of Huey Lewis in the news forever.
No, man, there's some great shit in here, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the level of vanity that he has. Uh-huh. You know, he's talking about it. That's another thing. You don't even know if he's lying about the exercises that he can do.
Right.
You know, it's one where the narration's meant to throw you off.
It's also, at least for that time, like you would look at guys like that and go like, oh, man, they're living the life. Only to get this window into it and go like, eh, I'm good right here.
Yeah, I don't need to be this asshole right here. I'm fine. If having money makes me that, then sign me up. I'm already an asshole anyway. Might as well get paid. Some people say I'm delusional too. The next one is a pretty obvious one. But it, you know, and it's one that everybody's seen. So I'm not even trying to recommend it, except to just go back and watch it again because the narration is so great. Because I'm gonna see if you can guess what this is by the description. Because, you know, not only are you rooting for the person, but you think there's a movement going on. You like, man, we changing things. We gonna go out there, and stick it to the man. Until you realize how fucked up everybody is. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Come on, hit me before I lose my nerve. Ow! It hit me in the ear.
Everybody thought that they could start a fight club until they got that first punch.
Uh-huh. Fuck, man. Shit.
Going home. You know, everybody thought that this movie was going to start some cultural movement middle.
They were scared of it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who, you know, throughout the movie, everybody's kind of like, yeah, this is what we need. Yeah, this is what we got to do. We got to organize, man. Until you realize at the end, they're fucking nuts, man.
It was on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Can I be next?
We just gave it a name.
Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is...
Wow, nice.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
You got two bits of narration going on, mainly from Edward Norton, though. And to listen to Edward Norton, you even get the hints that he's insane through this throughout. But you just feel like, man, that's just genius.
Well, he's sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And his life is sort of directionless. So if you're a young man and you don't kind of, you know, it really does prey upon that you don't know what your place is in the world. Because this movie came out in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And I could point out about 10 different movies that all had the same theme of identity crisis. I don't know if it was because we were moving into the new millennium or that's what was going on. But it would be real easy to attach yourself to this. And this still is my favorite movie. The writing is just so good on
mm-hmm.
it. I was blown away by it. I went back and saw it in the theater three times.
Yeah.
And yet there was never a point when I said to myself, yes, I hope there's a fight club that I can join. Thankfully, the movie was graphic enough to show you what happens when you get punched. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not doing that.
And also – it doesn't take too much to know you listen to the rantings of an insane person.
Yes.
The narration is dropping it in there, uh-huh, man. Everything uh-huh, he's saying uh-huh. is crazy, yeah. but because his message seems so strong
uh-huh.
until he just goes fully off the rails.
Uh-huh.
Him and Tyler, man, when they go fully insane at the end, that's when you think like, oh, okay, maybe I don't need to listen to these guys. But the whole time, but it's at the end that you say that when the shit really goes down. But the whole time they're narrating, they're dropping clues of, yeah, this is not normal.
Plus they move from fight clubs into terrorism.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing, man. You're listening to guys talk about terrorism from their point of view,
uh-huh.
and they make it seem like it's a cultural movement.
Right, right.
You know, they're doing – they're like – you know, they're doing a – you know, they're making they're putting a social message out there. And it's like, nah, man, you guys are – you're terrorists. And on top of that, you're crazy the most terrorists out there.
Yeah, you watch this. I mean, you say, like, oh, how can people join Al-Qaeda? And you watch this, you go – oh,
yeah.
With me that hard.
Yeah. You give people something to join and to fight for,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you feed them some unifying message, and everybody, no matter how wild it is.
You start by saying, your life is shit, and I know it. I understand where you're coming from, but here's what the problem is, and this is how we can band together and fix it.
But that narration did something that I thought was really incredible about the movie. After it was done, people didn't do it. There were about fight clubs that lasted for about 30 minutes,
right.
And they were done. It was in the news. They're like, yeah, once he got punched, they're like, nah, fuck this. But
they go to work with black eyes. Yeah. You crazy?
But even after that, people started feeling like, man, you know, okay, I ain't going that route, but that's what we need to do. The narration of the movie actually was somewhat of a recruiting. If this was real, it was somewhat of a recruitment tactic.
Yeah.
It made people feel like that we can actually go out and do something. Maybe not that, but we can go out and do something. I still hear people today like, yeah, you know, Fight Club is cool. They got that right. They got the message right, man. We got to do something. It's like, man, it's been 20 years. You ain't done shit.
Yeah.
All right. So
put you on a watch list.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go ahead.
For stupid.
Yeah. Let's go and get to our last one right here. The last one is different because it is about a stalker. And it's a stalker narrating their story, but it's not about romance at all. It's about a guy who is just so miserable that he just wants to make everybody else's lives worse. It's a bitter dude who he treats people. he treats people bad and rude, and people just like, ah, just that cranky guy. But there's one woman that he sees who's, he says, man, she's just way too happy. I've got to destroy her life. It's a movie called, it's from Spain. I believe it's from Spain. It's called Sleep Tight. If you need someone to lower the light, and if you want someone to hold you real tight, someone who'll hold you, do it after
night. Keep me in mind. Buenos días, señorita Clara. Parece cansada.
Ay, joder, César. Tú sí que sabes tratar a una mujer, ¿eh?
Siempre con esa sonrisita.
Chao.
Todo bien, todo genial.
Hoy me he encontrado a Clara en el ascensor.
¿Qué le has dicho?
¿Te preocupa? ¿No será que ella no sabe nada?
It's a guy who's like, he, I mean, he's not trying to, the narration is not really trying to convince you otherwise of what he's doing. It's more giving you insight into like just how this guy gets, you know, how he sees the world. He sees the world as such a terrible place that he has to like just bring misery to other people. You know, just not even for any kind of truth or message. He just doesn't like people being happy.
Oh.
Yeah, and bitter and obscene other people's misery actually gives him a little bit of excitement.
So he's the Grinch.
Pretty much, yeah. He's a Spanish fucked up Grinch, man. Yeah, it's just a fascinating. The narration gives you a window into the mind of a person who they're not depressed. You know, they don't want to kill themselves or anything. It's just that they're just spiteful.
Yeah,
against anybody.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's kind of fascinating. I didn't like this movie at first when I saw it because it is such a bitter film.
Yeah.
But after a while, for the reason that we're talking about, I really got into it, man. Saw that.
So that little girl knows what he's up to? she just gave him that look like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, she's always thought he was creepy. So she's like, if you ain't done nothing now, you will. So stupid looking at him. Yeah, man. I mean, the guy does. I mean, it's sick. Sometimes it just borders on childish, too. Mm-hmm. He just does things to just make her just – Just to stress her out to make her health bad.
Damn.
It's yeah, man. It's and he just wants to test her out every day. Like that's the only time he's happy. How's your day going? Because he's expecting her to be like, oh, miserable. And he's like, yes. It's insane, man. Like I said, I didn't even like it at first, but I found it fascinating after a while. I saw it at Fantastic Fest.
Okay.
One year. So yeah. So there you go. If you like you, there's some movies for you to check out along the same lines. At least. Listen to people who are trying to justify what they're doing are giving you insight into their minds as to why they're doing what they're doing, if you can even figure it out then. If you have any to show us, please let us know. We'd love to see it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Comment down below wherever we are. All right.
About Schmidt.
Is that the one with Jack Nicholson? Mm-hmm. Did he narrate that?
Yeah. It's another Alexander Payne movie.
I didn't even know he narrated.
Yeah, his wife dies and then – he kind of depended on hers, and they always had their plan. And when he retired, they were going to take the RV and travel the country. And she dies right before, so he just goes off on his own. It's mostly awkward comedy,
mm-hmm.
but it's a pretty good movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
I didn't know that there was narration in that.
Oh yeah,
I forgot, it's all three. I remember the movie. That's the one where he's on the poster looking like he's looking like a drunk or something.
My name is Warren R. Schmidt. I am 66 years old and recently retired. Helen and I have been married 42 years.
Don't dilly-dally.
Lately,
it was weird seeing Jack Nicholson without a young chick next to him.
I know. Playing his age.
Yeah, playing his age. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jack Nicholson was always up in some chippy, but that was a weird one, man.
Well, even in this, he's like, how am I laying in bed next to this old woman?
Wow. Damn, because you old too, bitch. That's why. Shut up. Goodfellas. Somebody named Goodfellas is being one.
Mm.
Goodfellas.
Well, I felt like Henry Hill was – he
told it like it was.
Yeah.
And I will even say this. For the most part, because of his narration in that movie, people saw the mob for what they were.
Yeah.
Because he just said, man, these guys are scumbags. He's like, yeah, we got it good and everything, but all that shit you see in the movies.
All that shit about honor and codes.
Yeah,
and,
nah.
Pay me.
Yeah, yeah. Usual Suspects. Would you include that one?
Well, I don't know, because it's all about the It's not, no, because he's not delusional.
There you go.
He's not delusional.
Yeah. All right, then. Moving on to something kind of sad here, man. You might have heard about it.
I didn't know until I saw the description of tonight's show.
Yeah, James Ingram, man. Yeah. Dead at 66 years old.
66? That's so young.
Had brain cancer, man.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah, my man.
Because last thing I saw, they said they hadn't said. And I just think, like, okay, when they don't say, maybe it's drugs or something. But
no, they said brain cancer or TMZ killed him. Because TMZ was one of the first places I heard about it. Again. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, TMZ was always out there. Yeah, and they have here Grammy-winning R&B singer and songwriter James Ingram has died from a form of brain cancer. Mm. Sources close to the singer tell us James had been fighting the cancer for an extended period. Actress and choreographer Debbie Allen reached out to the news Tuesday saying, "I've lost my dearest friend." Now, I don't expect anybody out there, you know, younger people to know who James Ingram is, but you definitely have heard of him. You either heard of him because of something you saw him and maybe hadn't seen for a while, or somebody old in your house was playing somewhere at a family reunion or something. But James Ingram, he was
enough big hits that you've heard some of it.
You've heard some of it because James Ingram was the guy that you did a duet with.
Yes.
That dude was like, if you want to sing with somebody and somebody just counseled on you or something, you call James Ingram, man. And I like that, like, and some people knew, like, man, I just got to get him because his voice sounded like mine. Because he came on that time where everybody sang like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, y'all gonna be there. Michael McDonald, like somebody told, they said, "Man, type that song down this tape right here." And they didn't know what it was. I think it was supposed to be called "I'm gonna be there."
I'm gonna be there.
But Michael McDonald, "I'm gonna be there," and like, "Well, I'm just gonna spell it like it sounds." Y'all mo be there. Beat it, ain't that?
Damn, you barely hear them over the electric drums. Jesus. All right, comment.
Well, that was the day, man.
I know. It's like you could tell a song, what year a song came out just from stuff like that.
That was the day when people were, like, could afford those keyboards. Had that dude on the keyboard going crazy.
Days of Friday Night Videos.
Yeah, man. Oh, you remember Friday Night Videos? I remember slumber parties, man, where kids would just stay up till like 5 in the morning. Uh-huh. They ran – so it's before YouTube, and they ran videos up until 5 in the morning, and people would stay up and watch music videos all night long. And, you know, people didn't even care what music.
I know.
Shit, that's really when shit was demographic,
mm-hmm.
You know, it would cross on to different demographics. Because I remember being at slumber parties, man, and we'd be like 12, house full of black people just dancing to this. That's why Michael McDonald's so cool with black people, man, because everybody grew up listening to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did the backing vocals on so many things.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was black.
Yeah, he did.
If you didn't see him, you wouldn't know.
And did the same lyrics every time.
Yeah.
Such a long way to go. As one dude, he didn't even have to say words. Huh? Sound great, man. I don't know what the fuck you said, but that's a wrap. You remember Patty Austin, man?
Uh-huh.
Like sometimes Michael McDonald, him too. Mm. But sometimes you would even call James Ingram to be on your song, and that his ass just be walking out the fog. You know?
I'm gonna be there.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. Wrong song,
we didn't
man.
Call you.
Yeah, you'd be on stage and out of the shadows, James Ingram just walking up. Wait, where'd you come from?
I see you back there, bitch. I followed you.
Hey, when did this shit turn to a horror movie? Bending every dime to keep you talking on the line. That's how it
works. Quincy, what is this?
And all those walks together out in any kind of weather.
just because. She's like, I just wrote this song today. how did he get this?
Yeah, it's like A Star Is Born. The band hasn't really worked out their arrangement, but here you come up and sing it, and we know what to play. So.
How did he even get this? I still got notes. But James Ingram, man, that's who you'd call if you want a duet. Now, a lot of you might know a duet that he did, a famous duet for a very popular movie.
It involves cartoons.
Because it involves a mouse, a cartoon mouse. Linda Ronstadt, which is sad because I hear she has Parkinson's, I believe. What? She has something.
She has something that's pretty serious.
Yeah, so it's sad that both these people that were suffering from elements. Linda Ronstadt, though, if you're looking at that and you think, oh, wait a minute, I did hear his voice. You remember that it came from An American Tale when they did Somewhere Out There.
Someone saying a prayer that we find.
By the way, he's tracing that.
I love that in movies. You always see the actor redrawing the lines that have already been drawn.
Man, that shit. Come on, man. The shit was done. At least for. Draw a whisker or something on that.
Or like you should erase part of it.
Yeah. Shit, draw a patch on a shirt or something, man. God damn.
One another in that big somewhere out there.
Yeah, sad hearing that, man, you know, and knowing that he's gone. But that was a huge hit back in the day, man. American Tale, you know, and with Five of the Mouse. This is, not speaking of movies, this is the one that I'll always remember, man. This one left a big impression on me. Y'all might know this song too.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. 'Cause here we are back where we were before. Seems nothing ever changes. We're back to being strangers. Wondering if we ought to stay or head on out the door.
Oh, that lip sync.
Just one. That song just ran off and left his ass.
He's like, are you sure you sang this song?
Yeah. Well, somewhere. You know, you look at you looking at the song leaving.
I know, I thought I was watching a Kung Fu movie.
He's trying to get that shit back. Come back. But man,
that was his first song.
That, yeah, and that song was, that is the saddest moment in cinema history for me, man. This is what kind of made me jaded later on in life. Y'all might know this movie right here.
Oh shit.
Last American Virgin, man.
Don't even show this to me.
One of the saddest. Oh, and if you, God. Man, look, if you just got shot down at the bar earlier that day and you feeling like you ain't got no worth, don't ever go home and watch this movie that night, The Last American Virgin. If you ever got cheated on, your girl left you for another dude, do not watch this movie. Or you were trying to hook up with a girl and you went out your way and she accepted every gift and kindness that you gave her, took your money, and then went off and fucked that other guy.
Oh, not that other guy. Her abusive boyfriend.
The asshole. Yeah. The one that you actually spent money to try to get her away from. And she took and promised, I'll fuck you later. But you got to give me all this money first. And then at the end of the day, she's back with him. That was my man right here. That face says it all.
It really does.
Boy, he is in disbelief.
Man, that was traumatizing watching this movie because it just starts like a regular old sex comedy, like all the other ones that came out, just kind of stupid and raunchy.
Raunchy sex comedy, teenage sex comedy.
Yeah, and that shit took a turn.
Boy.
It just pulled you in when you weren't expecting it, and it dropped that ending on you.
Oh, I spent half my time in high school with that expression on my face. Jesus, man.
I did my best. Oh. But I guess my best wasn't good enough. 'Cause here we are back where we were before.
Oh, yeah. He's just cracking inside right now. I like the way they both look at him. Like,
I know.
Yeah, dumbass. I know. Yeah, did you, like, they look at him like, did you really think you had a chance?
This movie is a good lesson.
It is. Yo, Rick Moranis looking ass. You really think you had a chance with this?
And the thing is, during that time, that actress, she was always playing those kind of roles in movies.
Oh, Jesus.
I think she's in Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Oh, I got to show you the part where he's just in the car just driving, man. I always wanted a sequel for this to where he's like, he's like a billionaire and he's like paid to have an assassin kill that guy. He's ruining her life.
Nah, he would have that guy work for him. Only paying minimum wage and ride his ass the whole time.
Doesn't help you got that Avon car he's driving. Yeah, man. That scene just driving in the darkness with tears coming down your eyes. James Ingram, man, he sold it. He sold it. Not that you needed to do much.
Man, I couldn't even hear the music when I watched that scene.
Over the sound of his tears. Yeah, man. Yeah, watch this movie. Do not be this guy. This movie should actually be shown to every kid growing up. Every young man growing up. Every woman growing up. Don't be these people. You know what? Speaking of movies, man, I remember I have to actually refresh this. I don't know if this will play or not. Let me see. Oh yeah, it will. Let me see. Actually, let me pull up something else because James Ingram, man, did a lot of movie stuff. Some things that I watched for years, man, and I questioned myself. And then it took you to ask this question out in public, Martin. So y'all know that one of my favorite movies in the world, in the absolute world, is, let me see if this will play. It's this movie right here.
Damn, look like my women is on time.
Huh? I didn't even notice that guy before.
What, huh?
Oh, shit, baby.
I can dig it. Dolomite is my name, and fucking up motherfuckers is my game. Breathing down your
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. Martin, you were actually at a screening of that with me over at the Alamo. Mm-hmm. And you asked the question. You said and because Dolomite was there, Rudy Ray Moore, rest in peace. You asked him, you said, man, I was watching the movie and I noticed something that kind of caught my curiosity. And you said, was that James Ingram I saw in the club scene? Because of this right here.
Jimmy Lynch and Mary Love, I want to thank y'all so much for coming out to be with me today.
Yeah, well, we especially when I'm missing for the
No, you've got to stop crying sometimes. It's up to you to clear your ways. It's up to you to make your sunshine. Cause no one loves rainy days. Without my love, without the love,
I'll be like, is that a man or a woman? Look like my auntie playing on the
guitar. No way at all. Without the love each day long,
oh,
no sky would fall.
James Ingram there. Yeah,
right. That's right, yeah.
With that lion's mane of a perm. And got on Eva Knievel's outfit. You asked, is that James Ingram? And he said that. And I remember Rudy Ray Moore. He said, "Yes, that was James Ingram. I made that boy." I don't know if he said that, but got that collar, boy. I remember collars were longer than your shoulders.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you expect to see Elvis doing karate in that.
Yeah, man, he got that helmet of a perm on his head.
And at the end, the collars help him to fly away. Flapping.
James Ingram was in Dolomite, just in case you want to know. So a little bit of a James Ingram trivia right there. Hey, 66 years old, man. Wanted to do that real brief and just give him his
– Gone too soon.
Gone too soon and gone in such a tragic way. Just wanted to give him his little respect right there.
You know, when I looked that up, I also saw that Pete Shelley from the Buzzcocks died.
Really?
Yeah, 63.
If y'all don't know, Buzzcocks kind of a
punk band from that song he did, Homo Sapien.
Yeah, wow,
Homo Sapiens,
dude. See, there's always somebody getting upstaged by somebody else. Because Buzzcocks, that was counterculture music back in the 80s, man. You know, kind of a punk music back then. And y'all have heard some Buzzcocks songs. I mean, you know, I'm sure that it's actually
the cruiser.
I'm sure.
Loser. Me and you's a homo sapiens too.
Taco Bell.
I remember that. I remember that song. We're homo sapiens too. Let me see here. Let me see what song this is. I know. I'm sure there's some 14-year-old skater kids out there who are into the Buzzcocks right now, man. Let me see. These people heard, this is the one that you've heard in probably a car commercial. Why do I get, why do I get?
I just want to look like any other, what do I get? I only want to bend and stay to the end, what do I get? What do I get?
I did not know that there was a death in the Buzzcocks. I'm sorry to hear that. Now losing so many people. Hold.
63.
What was going on?
I think it was heart attack.
Heart attack. That's a lot of partying these people did back then.
That's true.
I look at some documentaries. I saw something going on with CBGBs back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, man, there was so much drugs going around. Just everywhere, man. You know, I remember in the 90s where you can get a they just had ecstasy in some places, man.
Oh, yeah, you just buy it at the counter.
Just buy it. You just pull that shit out like peanuts.
It's in a bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, like I told you, man. Apparently,
yo, man, don't, you can only have six.
Yeah. I told you, when I was in London, man, they had a club. They just had powder. I didn't even know what it was. It was just something. There was some, it was in a tinfoil, and it was going around. People were like, here, take this. And I was like, okay.
That was Comet.
Yeah. It's good. Ooh, good, because I'm shooting up. Nah, man, it was something going around. It's some tinfoil. I think it was like powdered form of ecstasy,
yeah,
or something. Yeah. That's when I remember calling my wife, who was my just girlfriend at the time. And when I was in London, I called up and I said, hey, baby, what's going on? She's like, what is wrong with your eyes right now?
I don't know. What's wrong with you? Yeah.
Just float away.
Oh, God, help me.
Hey, baby, could you call 911 for me? You're in London. I am? Shit. Yeah, I was up for 2 days.
Oh, Jesus. Why'd you do that now?
Oh, let's see here. Can't remember one. Yeah, I remember going back to the place I was staying, because I was in between like kind of cool hotels and staying with my cousin. I remember I went back to my cousin's place after that.
Like, cousin.
Yeah, I remember got back there like around 2 o'clock or something like that. He's like, "You have fun?" I'm like, "Yeah."
What you trying to say?
You bet I did. Oh, let's see here. Going into some emails real quick. Got here and then we get on out of here. Oh, you know what? I already got some emails, man.
Yeah, you got some.
I had to actually pull some emails aside, but I'll take this one right here. I did not pull this one out yet. This is
it's good to see Ray a couple days ago.
It was, man. Yeah, I'm glad he turned me on to that pizza place.
I didn't know all those pizza places over there.
Yeah, what's it called?
Home Slice.
Home Slice. Yeah,
like East Side Pies is right over there.
Pizza was good too, man. I'm hungry right now too. Talking about that.
Get out of here. You're Jack in the Box, man.
Only when absolutely necessary. Only when I got to save my life.
Only when absolutely necessary. Like whenever I'm hungry.
Cause see, I'll be getting ready to do the show, and there's nowhere to go around here, man. I used to be able to go over to Brew and Brew.
Right.
Get myself some caffeine.
I know, man. That's what I miss the most about being down there.
You know, there's a what you call it over here?
A brewery?
Tiger. Easy Tiger. Oh,
is it finally open?
It's been open. It's been okay. Open. They close at midnight. On every day except for like Thursday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. They close at 2. And I'm like, well, those are days I ain't doing no shows.
Right.
You know? But I might go there tonight, man. They got a big ass turkey sandwich over there. I'm being serious. I'm just thinking about food right now.
You are.
Hey, listen, I know there's also this news story. I want to find out more about it before I say anything. It's very tragic. One of the stars from what is it? You know, what is it? Empire. That's a terrible story. One of the stars from Empire, man. You know, I got an email
here.
Actually, you know what? I'll play it for you. I'll just play it for you real quick. It's horrible. It's a horrible crime. I don't want to bring anybody down. Jussie Smollett.
Smollett? Is he dead?
No. But somebody tried to make it so.
Oh, okay.
Somebody tried to kill him.
When you had the things up earlier, I saw some.
Okay, a lot to cover. We've got some breaking news. Actor and musician Jussie Smollett from the hit show Empire was attacked and beaten early this morning in Chicago, and police say it could be a hate crime.
Investigators say it all started when two individuals yelled out racial and homophobic slurs. They began to beat him up and then poured a chemical substance onto his body. But it gets worse. Investigators say one of the offenders wrapped a rope around Smollett's neck.
Back in 2016, Smollett spoke openly about being gay in Hollywood, telling Attitude magazine, quote, "I get tired of the idea of someone telling me what my truth is. I've said from the beginning of my journey, I do not hide who I am. I love who I love. No one is going to tell me that somehow that is going to be my disability. I'm told so many times that I should not walk truly in my blackness, that I should not walk truly in my sexuality, I should not walk truly in who I am. I say thanks but no thanks. F you and goodbye. I honestly think that me being myself has actually helped my career move forward."
This is horrible to report. NBC's Miguel Almaguer is live in Los Angeles, and NBC News legal analyst Danny Savalas joins us live. Miguel, walk us through this. What else do we know about the circumstances of this terrible attack?
Well, certainly a very disturbing attack. Chicago police have not released many details. They say they are investigating this as a possible hate crime. Certainly there are many indications of a hate crime here. They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats, though that has not yet been officially confirmed. There has been no detailed description on the suspects. This again happened around 2 a.m. in downtown Chicago. Investigators say the victim was able to walk himself to a local hospital where we are told he is in good and stable condition today. But again, a very disturbing attack with very few details about these two assailants who also apparently yelled out homophobic and racist slurs to him before they attacked him physically and then tied that noose around his neck.
The reason why I didn't want to make a big deal out of it, because I got a lot to say about it. If what they say is true, and if they find out, I don't want to say what I have to say until they actually find out for sure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I'm about to go off on this, but I ain't going to say anything yet until all the details come out. Because if I talk shit, I'm going to talk shit and know what I'm talking about, you know, because I got a lot of shit to say about that. Especially those fucking hats if they're real.
I know.
You know, everybody talking about that. You know, people put on these hats and they wonder why people get mad about it. Because for a lot of people, you don't understand, it's not just a political, and they got pictures of them right here. It's not just a political statement. For a lot of people, for too many people, those hats really do represent hate.
Yeah.
Homophobia, xenophobia, racism, sex. There's so many ugly things tied up in those hats. It's more than just, I'm sure some people really do wear it as a political statement, but it's attached to so much messed up shit with it that I don't, you know, people got to realize that when they put that on. Like that kid out there standing in front of that Native American. And I know there's two different stories going around. That's why I never got into it, because there was too much passion on both sides, too much anger on both sides. I just said, I really don't know what's happening, because some people say that the kids weren't really doing anything, even though they harassed this girl going by. You know,
they didn't do anything to the Native American veteran, but they were doing shit before.
And they're wearing
a hat.
And they're wearing the fucking hat, man. Those hats mean something, all right? You got that hat on, you can't act like everything is innocent.
Right.
You know, especially when shit is going on like this. I guess I'm saying what I have to say. And
well, somebody wrote being an intelligent idiot, where they were like, well, we don't like when people are judge people because of the color of their skin or sexuality, so why are you going to judge people because of the hat they wear? And it's like, wait, what? I mean, the hat they chose to wear?
You don't have to put that hat on. And by the way, that hat does represent a lot of ugly shit. Uh-huh. You know, you can't generalize a whole race of people, but when that hat comes out and it's saying Make America Great Again.
It's a Confederate flag.
Yeah. And we know clearly the message behind it. And people have worn that hat with pride, saying, yeah, we don't like Mexicans, blacks, gays, And anybody else in between who don't look like me, when they wear that hat and say it with pride, right. wear that hat saying, get out, or you don't belong, or you are lesser than. People wear that hat with given that message yeah. blatantly.
When they say make America great again, you say, when was it great? In the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know what that shit means. Mm-hmm. Make America a certain other color that it used to, that people used to associate with it. You know, this is the ugly thing about it. The really ugly thing about it is that Trump is the one that put those hats out there, and he's never come out and said anything against these horrible crimes.
Yeah.
Except maybe, you know, the most generic of statements.
Right.
To where the most generic, careful statement, so he doesn't have to offend these hate-filled people that support him, that he knows supports him. He's a piece of shit, man. And these fucking people who wear these hats and expect, like, well, don't, you know, why are you so judgmental against my hat? Because I don't have to judge. The motherfucker speaks for itself. Shit, that's like catching the fucking murderer on video.
Yeah.
Well, why you think I'm guilty? Because I saw your ass. That's why. I mean,
this could be anybody's blood on my knife.
Yeah, but that's you stabbing that person on video. You know these fucking hats, man. Get out of here with this. Don't judge me by my hat. There was a guy that, and he was wrong. There was a guy that just got way too triggered in a smoke shop. Some guy came in with a Make America Great Again hat, and this guy just went off. Get out! Get out! You know, the guy's like, hey, man, I'm just here to buy a certain item. Yeah. I got the guy at the counter was wrong. But again, I get it. You know, I got why he was triggered. I mean, you wearing that fucking hat, you wear that hat in front of me, you might as well be endorsing. Just like anybody who's behind Trump, man. You know, I'm sorry if you don't like my, you know, don't think that I'm being open-minded about other political people's different political opinions. But if you are for Trump, you are openly telling me that you are, so if you're not against me, you're supporting people who are.
Yep.
Now, it ain't that fucking hard, man. That's why when I saw Kanye with that shit on, man, I will not. And I'm not boycotting, but that motherfucker will not ever get none of my attention after this, wearing that goddamn hat. And meanwhile, got your ass looking like a house nigga up in the White House. What the fuck going on, man? You know, I mean that. That's why I didn't want to talk about this shit.
See what y'all did?
That's why I didn't want to say nothing.
You knew this was going to happen. You knew you were going to spin him out like that. Come on now.
That's why I didn't want to say shit about this. But y'all know good and goddamn well what you're doing, man. That's the insulting thing about it.
Yeah.
Because most of them, you know, like I'm sure that there's some people who really don't know. Sure, all right. But most of these people out there are hiding behind ignorance, man.
It's hard to believe anybody doesn't even know.
It really is. What I really hate is when people try to like play ignorance to apply guilt to you. No,
nothing's worse than somebody doing something shitty and trying to play coy about it. Or yeah. Like, I'm just trying to open a dialogue and see how open-minded you are. It's like, I might be open-minded, but I'm not a moron.
No, that's why. It might not happen. I'm sure not going to happen. But that's why I hope LA just crushes the Patriots, man.
Yeah, don't put your hopes in that.
I know. That's why I said it.
Don't. Just don't.
Hey, I ain't putting no money on this shit. I'm saying buy some miracle.
Atlanta taught me not to have that kind of
yeah. Hope. Oh, I know, man. I know. Especially if it's at the last minute.
Had the game. Had the game.
Yeah. If it's at the last minute, too. They got him. Oh, yeah. They do. Shit, I guess I go home and watch Netflix. Watch that goddamn Paradox, whatever. The Cloverfield Paradox. Nah, man. Yeah, these fucking hats get me triggered as hell too, man. But whatever. Anyway.
I mean, you know what? The thing is, I appreciate the hat because it tells me right off the bat who I'm dealing with.
That is true. That is true. Y'all, you know, I like the way y'all trade in that hat for that hood for a hat.
Yeah.
Like nobody, well, they ain't going to guess who I am now. Own the shit, man. Just fucking own it. Own it. Be racist, man. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to wear that hat, don't be trying to, man, I love everybody. No, apparently you don't.
Yeah.
Because if you did, you take that shit off.
I'm not prejudiced against other races. I just think they should all stick with each other.
Yeah, exactly. God, man, like that fucking dude.
Black should stay with black and white should stay with white.
Yeah, dude at that Klan rally looking at me talking about, you know, I'm not racist, but we can't be brothers if we're not together. That don't make no fucking sense at all, man. Come on, I look stupid to you, sir. Tom Brady in that fucking hat, man. The Patriots are fucking villains to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have been before, cheating ass. Now y'all putting
it's the... y'all are the best team and you're winners.
Yeah.
You still got to cheat.
And you still got to cheat. And now y'all even put on a supervillain costume wearing a goddamn hat. Assholes. All right. Anyway. From Australia, man. Let me see here. But this case does not do that hat any more justice, man, at all. That just vilifies that more. Let me see here. Andrew Baugh. Is from Australia. He says here, 1 hour ago he sent this over. Hi, Corey and team. I'm pretty excited as I booked my flights to Texas and will be coming through in late April. As I am coming to Austin to see you guys, I would like to find accommodations near where the world-famous studio is. Could you please let me know which area in Austin you would recommend to stay? Drew ate that. Oh, you're Drew ate that from Twitch. Nice to see you, man. Nice to almost finally meet you. Man, they tore down that hotel over there.
I know, that Highlander Hotel. It was cheap. You could walk to the studio.
It was nice.
Yeah. And it's almost like they said, oh, yeah? Well, it's gone. How about that?
They leveled that shit.
They did.
Do you know what they're going to be building over there?
No idea.
Yeah.
There's a Holiday Inn, though, just a parking lot over.
Yeah. I'll send you the address, man. There's a lot of places around here. I don't know.
Depends on how much you want to spend.
What's that? Hotel City? Oh, no, I ain't gonna
can't in good conscience send people over.
I'm not gonna do that to you, man.
But I was gonna say Crown Royal, Crown Plaza over there, DoubleTree. But there's a Holiday Inn that's walking distance from the studio.
Yeah. Zach Rowe, hello DT crew. With the big release of the Kingdom Hearts game and Resident Evil 2 remake, my question is: what other game would you like to continue? Would you like to be continued or remade in the current generation? Oh, that's a good one, man. Dead Space. That's one. You ever play Dead Space?
Mm-mm.
Dead Space is the best sequel to Aliens that never happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's you in space, and it's a very cool concept. You're the lone survivor on this ship because that's how it always starts out, and all the other crew is dead, and I mean there's a lot of people on that ship. Now the worst thing about having all these people dead on the ship, as if that wasn't bad enough already, is that the ship has been invaded by an alien being, or a form of alien being that is able to go in and reanimate the dead bodies. But not like bring them back as zombies, like bring them back as different kinds of creatures. Like they,
shit.
Like they infect them, and then they like grow claws, and the limbs become elongated. And they, yeah.
Oh, well, it's time to eject those bodies.
Yeah. But it's too late. They're already infected, and all these dead bodies. They have tentacles and shit. It's amazing, man. Wow. It's not like a zombie game or a zombie movie. They've taken that to the next step. It's brilliant, man.
Dang,
love
it. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, you should check it out if you get a chance. Let me see here. I'm going to read the emails that I actually got here. I'm going to go through them very quickly. I already pulled them up, and then we will be on our way.
Yeah, you want that big chicken or turkey sandwich, don't you?
I do, man. I do. I want to get out of here so I can get that. I just want to sit back and have a beer and some turkey meat. Yeah, it's 11:02. All right, let me go ahead and get through this very quickly. If I don't get to the mall, then I will reach you later. This is a response to a question that we had yesterday on What Up, Son. So we're talking about how much do Lyft and Uber drivers actually make? Because we were riding with one, and he told us like it's just like being a waiter or a waitress.
Yeah,
get by on tips.
Yeah,
but we didn't know. My wife actually made a good point. She said, "Well, he might have just been telling us that."
Yeah,
but it says here.
I always hear that they don't make that much.
Yeah.
Once it's all said and done, the wear and tear on your car and the gas.
That's what it got. Jack Crystal Gattanella. I've been driving for Uber and Lyft for the better part of a year, 40,000 miles. If I really hustle and work for a long stretch of time, I make some money. But the problems for a driver are A, cost for the repairs, B, gas, and C, cost for the car repairs. I also don't get a lot of people who tip, maybe less than half. Sometimes
he's got cost for the repairs twice.
That's how many, bro. He has a very shitty car, Martin. So much as repairs cost, twice as much. He says, sometimes the people who are really fucked up intoxicate a little bit more, but then I got to worry about them puking in my car. And to confirm what you said, Lyft does pay better, but Uber has more bonuses for like rides given per week or weekends and so on. It's not an ideal situation, but I've been struggling to get a job.
Sorry to hear that, Jack.
Yeah, man.
I like Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Sorry to hear that, man. But yeah, that's just confirmed what the other guy told us. Hey, Corey Martin and sometimes Billy, not tonight. Are there any great movies you refuse to watch for whatever reason? I thought Requiem for a Dream was a well-made film with a great score and good acting, but I refuse to rewatch these characters slowly destroy themselves all over again. Thanks for the entertaining content over the years, and as always, stay toasty. And that's from Aaron Romero.
The only one on my list is Man Bites Dog.
Man Bites Dog. Soul Plane.
Oh, well, it's my, yeah, but okay. I didn't finish watching it the first time.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say I would watch it again.
I finished watching it one day and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
No, this was not. No. I should have just stayed away from that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about a movie I think is good, but I won't rewatch.
Oh, a movie that's good. That's
because a shitty point. Movie. Yeah, I definitely won't rewatch that.
Yeah, Man Bites Dog. Yeah, that's what I've always said. Man Bites Dog. What do you call it? There's a movie called Inside where a woman gets a baby carved out of her stomach.
Jesus.
I would not watch that again. I'm into horror, but I'm just not into gore as much as I used to be, unless it's like, you know, gore that's not as disturbing. Kind of get back into some of it. But, what's the other one? Irreversible. The rape scene. Yeah. I didn't do that. Gets his head bashed in with a fire extinguisher. I could probably watch that again. That's not a big deal, but to see a woman in a 9-minute rape scene, I don't watch that shit.
Yeah.
Let me see here. And this is the last one. Hey guys, Pulp Fiction is a great film, praised for flowing around time. I recently saw this implemented but not executed that great in Bad Times at the El Royale,
yeah,
which they did play around with time there.
Right.
What movie would you have already seen? Would you flip certain scenes around in time? You ever thought about that?
I mean, I know we often see movies where they pull that whole thing of flipping stuff in time, and I'm like, you know what, just play it straightforward.
Yeah.
You turn this into an unnecessary gimmick.
Yeah, unless the next Avengers movie wants to, because he's playing around with time, bringing people back, you want to do something with that.
That's part of the story.
Yeah, so hey, I'm going to go with that. Haven't even seen it yet. That's it. We out. But... Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something about the
Lyft? Sure. What's up? But you need to say it over here because we can't hear you back there. She's like, you're going to make me walk. What's up?
On some of the cases I've audited, they actually should use the Schedule C and claim either the mileage or the gas and the car repairs.
Okay. So they can claim that on their taxes.
Okay. So they're saying that's a – okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Because that's for your job. Yeah. You're a contractor, I guess.
Yes. You
know? Okay. With the IRS. Yeah. No, you make an excellent point when they're going like, man, we got to pay out all this, and this. It's like, well, it's tax deductible, so it's not quite.
Yeah. The same. Yeah.
But you also have to claim your tips.
Shit.
Never easy. Is it always it's always a catch?
Forget it.
Oh well. I mean, I'm sure that'll help somebody at some point. All right. So. Here's the thing, y'all. I am moving Toronto to May because
really?
It's been taking a while to get this this venue. I mean, we can do it in April, but I just thought May would give people extra okay. time to give me extra time to like promote it properly. But I'm not gonna say when until they have a date. But I'm just gonna wait for them to
give me. It'll be warmer.
Yeah, it'll be warmer there. Everybody was telling me to go in Toronto to Toronto in May when it's warmer. So. They'll give me a date. Well, I have a date, but I'm not going to say it until they actually give me the contract and everything, and I have the place secured. So, coming up, though. Coming up. We'll get it ready for you. But stay tuned for that, and remember the cruise, August 15th and the 19th. If you want to join us on the Double Toasted Cruise, then please let me go ahead and pull it up for you. I'm not going to go through a big spiel, but if you'd like to do so, then you can contact Dina Campbell Harris, 904-716-2321. Her email address, dinaharristravel@bellsouth.net. That's DENAHARRISTRAVEL at bellsouth.net. Got those packages for $558, or you can get a balcony cabin for $746. That includes everything you need aboard the Carnival Dream. All right, everybody, that is it. We are out of here. Thank you for the financial advice, Denise. Sharonda, thank you for helping out. Sorry we caught you late there, Miles.
Yeah, no, this is the one and only time I'm
out. Yeah, and you don't have to apologize. I told Miles, I said, man, Billy's not going to be here. If you want to come on, you can do so. And he texted me back. He's like, man, I'm sorry. It's going to happen again. I'm like, man, you don't have to say that. I get it. I get it. What's up, sir?
Oh, I just want to quickly make you joke with that friend zone thing with the music video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so long story short, got a pretty girl who worked with me in my department. Has, you know, she's in a relationship, doesn't want to be in it. So there's someone else I work with. He's like, yeah, man, you know, this girl called me at 2:45 in the morning. And I'm like, for what? He's like, well, she just called me complaining about, you know, getting out of the relationship she's in. But, you know, as annoying as that was, I just know one day she's going to come hit me up. Oh. And I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, when do I tell him that he's in the friend zone?
Yeah.
Like now or do I just let
I'll tell you
build?
What, don't tell him anything. Just play this for him.
Here we are back.
And watch his ass just sit around across the room looking like this dude right here.
I can't believe it.
I think it depends on how good of friends you are with him. If you're
everything.
Not that good of friends, you just encourage him and just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like now I'm an accomplice. I honestly just want to hit up the girl when I see her and be like, don't do this to him.
Sure.
Like, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. When you played that, I just immediately thought of him like, this was today. Mm-hmm. Where he just
today.
This was today where he's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be there for her, you know, and she was thinking about moving out and thinking like, oh, because he drives a truck.
He's looking like that.
Just once.
Or he will be.
Just once. Not going to be there too.
I love how the guy looks, too, like, yeah, you thought you had a chance, motherfucker.
Yeah, he thought, yeah.
He had done so much for her. He went above and beyond.
So have you ever seen this movie?
No,
Last
haven't.
American Virgin. You want me to tell you what happened in this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Man, I'm going to tell you how bad this is. Like the shittiness that this girl pulled on him.
Mm-hmm.
This dude got her pregnant and then dumped her and then told her to keep the fuck away from me. And she went and turned to this dude for help. And he went he sold a bunch of shit, ran all around town getting money to help her get an abortion. And they even kind of made out, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, and he took care. He nursed her back to health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like they were a couple. Damn. Yeah. They go to this one party. And his boyfriend shows up. And boom.
Yeah.
No
was it. Yeah,
way.
Man. It was rough. Yeah. Whoever.
Wow.
Man, it's a sadistic dude that wrote this script.
It's probably somebody that it happened to.
Yeah, man. They'd have to die.
Oh, my God.
I'd abort them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Jeez,
yeah, that was
man.
Rough, man. That was rough.
Especially have the ex-boyfriend look at you like, what?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the psyche? Let's be in that position for a second. I don't even know how to react to that.
Sure,
I'd be like...
Imagine being a kid. Yeah. Like, you ain't even had sex yet. You know, you don't even know what vagina looked like. And I was 11 years old when I saw this movie.
Oh, man.
And it fucked me up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it came on HBO all the time.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those movies where, you know, summertime, you were up late. Yeah. And my days would just be ruined the next day because I'd be mad. I'd just be angry about this, man.
I like his look, though.
Jesus, man. Fuck,
dude, this movie just... Yeah.
Oh. I mean, and look, it's not even kind of like, you know, bros before hoes type thing. Like, I've seen movies where women have been treated like dirty by dudes. It makes me mad, too. It's just what it is right now.
Another one of those shitty situations.
Yeah, it was, man. But the way they just look at him.
Uh-huh.
Like, you knew what this was.
Right.
Jesus, man. And the way he's just powerless, he can't do it. That face does it all, man. That bottom lip is about to fall off his face. Yeah, man, it's a rough movie. Y'all should watch this if you get a chance. Tell you what, though.
So yeah, I'm sure your friend didn't have it that bad.
No, not yet. But it's adorable because it's like this is the shit. Like, listen, man, I don't care who you are. Everyone has been in the friend zone. And just beat per beat, he just like, I'm going to do this. Like, she interrupted me at 2:45 in the morning, and I was annoyed. But then when I heard the problems, I'm like, just wait, Robert. Like one day, like, she's going to come falling for me. And I'm like, no, she's probably going to fuck me, and then you're going to find out later, and then you're just going to hate yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man.
Like, she's going to go out to the club, she's going to hit up with someone, and then you're going to hear that talk where it's like, I feel all better now. I got it out of my system.
Hey, man. I've had shit like that done to me, and I've done that shit to people. And it doesn't feel good either way, but it somehow feels worse sometimes to even do it to people. So the fact that these assholes didn't even have any regret. No guilt about it all. I mean, just rubbed it in too. Like, what is your ugly ass want? This is the room for pretty people. Get out. Fuck, man. Yeah, it's horrible, man. But yeah, you know what? That gives us a chance to kind of end this on a.
And from there, he turned into Joe.
Yeah. From you. Yeah. Oh, well, people, I'll let the sad, soulful sounds of James Ingram take us out. For all you lovers out there who got no love at all. I'll tell you what. Hey, listen, I had a great time tonight. Thank you, Miles, for coming up. Sharonda, thank you. Thank you again.
I did my best.
And
but I guess my best
guest starring Barton Thomas as the captain.
Here we are back where we were.
You know, it's funny because, let me see here.
Nothing ever changes.
If you really like think about it, like
that
song goes with that commercial one that you did. Little did Martin know that this girl would cheat on him one day. Hey, you know what, y'all? We're going to get on out of here. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you being here. Where's my title screen at? There we go, people. All right. Remember, we're always thinking about you. I'll never cheat on you out there. So please pop up the keyboard, type in kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. Email us any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Want to be a part of the show? We're too late. We're done. But we'll be back with more shows. So in that email, put your phone number in there. Put your Skype contact in there. Bam! Up in your home, stealing your girlfriend. The only host to do the house call. The only shitty dudes to do the house call to take your girl. On Instagram, type in double_toasted. Or if you're on Facebook, type in double toasted. Want some private time with me? Type in court.com.5. I'm too busy out there taking your girl, Miss Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro. Or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, join the group, The Children of the Toast. You might also find my good friend, Mr. DJ Miles.
You can find me on Tinder and Bumble at LonelyBoy417. But when you're not on there, find me on What's in the Box every Saturday. And hit me up at whatsintheboxdt@gmail.com.
Oh, join us right here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios, now with two stanky ass couches back here. Email us kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're going to be visiting Austin. You have visited Austin and decided to stay here, and we're good with that. But you know, it's really going to hurt our feelings if you do not come down and see a show. It'll be just like taking our girl and rubbing it in our faces. So come down here and join us. kcoolmans@gmail.com. Give us some details, give back some details, that way we can accommodate you. All right, everybody, that is it. Good night, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye and stay toasty. We could just get through.